The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Welcome to the show that we're doing right now.
What the hell are we doing on this show?
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It jumped up a notch.
It did, didn't it?
Let's go.
What is this?
Who else but
the Q?
It's showtime! Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Gentlemen, welcome to the queue. Of course, you're listening to the best of pop culture, current events, and current affairs show east and west of that Mississippi River, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, and worldwide at theqnow.com, presented by photo.com. That's FOTO.com. This is the queue. And joining me today, as usual, one of my favorite people in the entire world, eating himself to death.
Some grapes. I'm trying to be healthy.
You're
turning over a new leaf.
Ladies and gentlemen, producer Bobby.
Producer. Deactivated my Facebook, and my life is so much happier.
We are
for the
going to talk a little bit about that, but also sitting in with us, ladies and gentlemen, a special guest. Well, let's just say we're joined today by Marissa Lather, a social media specialist in the St. Louis area, and she will chime in to talk about all of it with us. A true travesty of justice happened in NYC, and unlike Ferguson, there is a total video of the entire incident. We are going to discuss that, as well as we are going to be joined by Judith Baker to discuss her relationship with Lee Harvey Oswald when he was killed. But beyond all of that goodness right there, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q. I am Mark Bland. I am your host. And Bobby.
Yes, sir.
You, sir, hot seat boy, which, yes, by sir. The way, we are going to do a little hot seat later on with Marissa. She is she's joining us. Thank you so much for joining us today, Marissa. Oh, wait, hold on. We got to get you on there. You turned yourself off. Go ahead, talk. Where are you at? You're not on that one? Oh, there you go. She's on four. Look at that. See how professional we are, ladies and gentlemen?
Hi, guys. I'm here.
Hey, there you are. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm kind of looking forward to it and kind of nervous.
You're a little nervous. A little nerve-wracked? You just got done with a little bit of a Christmas party? Is that true?
A holiday happy hour always gets people prepared for this show, I'm guessing.
I'm assuming...
That's a good call.
That would be kind of true. I would be the first to admit that. Yeah. It's a scary show. It can be a very scary show. As usual, I'm going to sound like I'm in a echo chamber, because that's what happens with me on this microphone at all times. I always sound like I'm in an echo chamber.
We can't swing anything over there.
There's nothing like that. But we got a little homework we got to do first here. First off, the queue is presented by photo.com. That's FOTO.com. Get fantastic deals, including your free 75 4x6 prints by signing up at photo.com. That's FOTO.com.
Tito's part of this now?
Marissa, are you familiar with photo.com?
I've heard of them once or twice.
They do online prints of pictures. That's their main forte.
Of pictures. I've actually used them mostly for photo books.
Ah, so you have been to their site before.
I have.
I'm looking at photo.com. I didn't realize they did like magazines.
I think they also do holiday cards too, Bobby.
Oh.
Yeah, like they do Christmas cards.
Oh, I see.
And with Christmas coming up here in just a few short weeks, it would be hest you. If you get over to photo.com, that's FOTO.com, click on their Christmas card selections, join up, put your pictures in there, and send those bad boys out to all of your family members. Let them know how much you love them, how much you appreciate them.
Did you?
Very good.
Photo.com's awesome.
It is awesome. Also, get ripped and burn fat fast. That's right, with the all-new official WWE workout DVDs featuring WWE champions Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. Train like a WWE superstar and get in shape with the Power Series Triple H DVD and the WWE Fit Series with Stephanie McMahon. Available now on DVD and digital HD.
I'm pretty stoked about that.
And also, don't forget, the eyes of the world will be watching Saturday, December 6th at UFC 181 as UFC welterweight champ Johnny Hendricks defends his title against Robbie Lawler from the St. Louis area. Plus, Anthony Pettis defends his UFC lightweight belt against former Strikeforce champ Gilbert Melendez. Order UFC 181 Hendricks versus Lawler 2 live on pay-per-view this Saturday coming up. 10 p.m., 9 central, or watch it live on the big screen at a theater near you. Go to fathomevents.com for participating theaters. That's Fathom, F-A-T-H-O-M, events.com for participating theaters.
Former NFL player Brandon Schaub, who was on the UFC heavyweights edition.
Yes.
When Lesnar was a coach on that season, Roy Nelson, Kimbo Slice. It was all that season.
Yeah,
Schaub's fighting on that card too.
Brendan Schaub.
I like Brendan Schaub.
I think he was the winner of that season. Was he not?
No, I think he took third place
or second place.
Big Country.
Oh, that's right. Roy Nelson.
Roy Nelson.
Oh my God, love Roy Nelson. Marissa, do you know much about UFC?
Tons.
No. No. The best part, Roy Nelson is like this guy that just came. Country
Roy
bumpkin.
Nelson looks like me.
Could you give me a second here? Can I get a second? Is it cool?
No.
All right. With your stupid Green Bay Packers hat on?
Look, I don't do Facebook anymore, so I don't have to wait for people.
Yeah, that's what you say. Let's talk. Anyway, Roy Nelson, I love him. He looks like the fat guy who gets off the bar stool and just gets into a fight at a local bar. He's famous. His most famous thing is his first time in the UFC after winning that.
The UFC.
Ultimate Fighter. He decided an hour and a half before he was supposed to go to the ring and fight to down a box of Twinkies live on social media and on YouTube. And he just sits there on his hotel bed and he's just shoving them into his mouth, 6-7 deep. I loved it. I thought it was great. Then he turned around, went to the ring and destroyed that dude. Just destroyed him.
I never heard about that.
Absolutely hilarious. That's one of my amazing. Favorite things I've ever seen in UFC history.
He should have stuffed a Twinkie in his opponent's mouth.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah.
Good call. Yeah, listen to Marissa over there. She's not taking no guff off you people.
No guff,
Marissa.
Quick.
Can we call you No Guff?
Please.
Yeah, No Guff Marissa. That's what we're going to say. Let's talk a little bit to Marissa here. Is that cool?
Yeah,
You got time?
Bring it on.
Do you got some time to hang out and talk with us?
Oh, tons. Anything for you guys.
All right, well, I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
You go by the Social Ideal on Facebook.
I do.
Well, you actually have two accounts. I'm not... The one account's kind of like secret. It's like sexy pose with the hat real cocked low, super bright red lipstick. Like, you're not going to know who I am. I'm a mysterious social media person. And then there's the other one, which is The Social Ideal, which is her main page. And that's at The Social Ideal. And you are a Twitter mistress. You are a social media temptress, are you not?
Well, I've been called many things, but not quite that.
No, you have not been called that. What got you into the world of social media? How long have you been on social media?
I've been on it. I remember probably in about 2008 or 2009, one of my friends said, "You absolutely have to be on this thing. It's called Facebook."
Okay.
I said, "Oh my goodness, okay." So gave it a shot. And as I progressed professionally, I was able to turn what many people my age saw as a new form of communication into an actual lucrative business.
And that's what you do. You
correct.
Are a consultant for social media.
Correct.
Primarily. That's your main forte. How old are you?
I just turned 31.
So you just turned 30. So you were actually in your mid-20s when you joined up with the Facebooks.
Yeah.
I actually joined Facebook in 08 when they first allowed it to go. But I was like a lot of people who joined back then. Excuse me. I didn't touch it for the first year that I had the account. And the reason why, back then, the way the widget setup was and how they, like, how everything is just so smooth and put together now,
right.
It wasn't like that originally. You had widgets that you had to, like, install into certain sections of the page. And, like, you had to, it was a learning curve.
Do you remember bumper stickers?
Oh, yeah. Early Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know what any of this is because I don't have Facebook.
You don't remember anything? What happened to your microphone?
It just fell.
Just jumped down. It's okay. You're fine. It's no big deal. Anyway, The Social Ideal, you should definitely follow her on Twitter if you get a chance, as well as Facebook. Marissa Lather. It's Lather, right?
It is Lather.
I got it correct.
I think it should be Luther.
Like Marissa Lex Luther?
That's my cousin.
She's like Superwoman.
Do you have a significant other?
I do, actually.
What's his name?
His name is Adam Lowry.
Adam Lowry. Oh, she's so sexy when she says, like, Adam Lowry. His I love name? Him so oh. much.
Oh, you should Mark hear Blaine, him say
his
it.
Name is How long Adam have you guys been together?
Lowry. Pushing 4 years now.
Mm-hmm. Four years? Guy. Is it marriage time? Is it wedding time? Is it the wedding bells? Is it time for the wedding bells?
You know, if one more person asked me that.
I'm just wondering if it's wedding bells time. It seems like 4 years. That's pretty deep. I mean, I was with my wife for 2 years when I asked her. And by four, we were married. So mm-hmm. I would think that 4 years, it's getting close to the time where you might want to, you pop the question.
You know, we're a very progressive couple.
Oh, so you're going to do that, huh?
I'd say that would not be out of the question, but I don't think either one of us has time right now. So.
Fair enough. What's he do for a living?
He is the executive chef out at Jazz at the Bistro.
Okay, cool.
So he
likes the jazz or he just likes cooking?
Well, he is very musically inclined as well as culinarily, so I am a very lucky girl.
He's definitely inclined in more places than that. Let's just be honest.
You know said what I'm it, saying? Not me.
All right, that's true. Also, there it is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. So if you guys pop the question, you know, you would become Melissa Lowry. You'd be the Lowry. Is that going to happen?
Well, you know, that's a possibility.
Do you like the name Lowry versus Lather better? Which one? Where are you one of those?
Well, I like it because it starts with the same letter, so I wouldn't have to change a monogram if I had such a thing.
Good call.
Although being in social media, my name is a collection of characters, and I need to preserve that collection of characters for my SEO.
What do you mean your collection of characters? Explain that to him. Wait a second. So you would continue to stay? You're not going to hyphenate it or take his last name?
I mean, I would if he really wanted me to.
Or maybe
you have like public versus private or.
Okay, but me growing up as a Christian in Catholic, in the Bible, it physically states that a woman gives herself wholeheartedly to a man. And to me, like my wife and I got into this discussion whenever we got married, because she was like, oh, I'm just going to keep my name. You know, I'm the only girl with the name, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, because when you get married, you give yourself wholeheartedly to a person. By that, to me, means that you're taking name, everything. You're taking that family, all of it. So you take that name.
That is true. Okay. That is true.
Are you religious of the religious sort?
I'm very spiritual. I'm a Christian.
You are a Christian?
Yeah.
Did we grow up in a certain church or a certain religion?
Methodist.
The Methodist?
If I had to choose, yeah.
If you had to choose, you're like, well, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I went to a Baptist church for a small time when I was younger and then graduated to the Methodist and here I am now.
Here you are.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show today. We're going to talk to you a little bit about some stuff when it comes to social media coming up here real soon, because I got to pick your brain.
Sounds good.
I think everybody out there needs to pick your brain about social media. I mean, there's,
perfect.
Listen, I wish
more people would.
Well, let's get into this a little bit right now. We can kind of give it a little precursor. Me and Bobby, being the hosts of this radio show, this juggernaut that we like to call The Cube.
Yes.
We tend to, and by the way, if anybody out there would like to, you can go to theqnow.com to find out a little bit more about the show, a little bit about us, our past, as well as follow us on social media at theqnow, theqnow.com. That's the website, and at theqnow on Twitter, as well as Facebook. We have pages. Go like them. Be our friend. Unfortunately, Bobby, yeah, I was going to say, you don't have pages anymore. You don't have a Facebook page.
No.
Why? What happened, man? What is the deal, dude? Why did you have to get rid of your Facebook page? Because you hit me out of the complete blue and you're like, listen, I'm just letting you know right now, I'm not going to have a Facebook page by 5 p.m. today.
Yeah.
Boom. So, and I was like, oh.
Well, okay, with the situations that have happened here in the St. Louis area, in Ferguson, things like that, you know, there was some travesty
that happened to that young 18-year-old kid with his hands up. I get it.
There were some things that happened in the sports world and everything that I was pretty upset with. And
yeah, you got really angry about the Rams thing, man. We need to talk about this. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a minute. You asked me about Facebook.
Whoa, so, and listen, excuse me. I just commented on your stance, okay?
Oh, you can't
so
comment
now you
on
wait.
Something that's not
you gotta
there.
Wait. There's no dislike button. You know what I'm saying? There's no thumbs down button.
But I'm posting things, you know, not being rude or anything.
Sure.
And people are coming back at me telling me that I'm racist and all these other remarks when I'm one of the furthest people from this. And
I would agree.
When I gave my stance, they turned around and they berated me and talked bad about me. But when they gave their stance, all I tried to do was have a conversation, make conversation, you know, and talk about, well, maybe you're not right in that stance because of this or because of this. But when I post about my stance, I'm instantly a racist. I'm a bad person.
Well, there's two things here. I do want to talk to you about this. Okay. There's two things here. Now, the first thing is that I've seen the two posts that you are specifically talking about.
Correct.
Where the individuals came back at you with the racist remarks.
Correct.
And said that you are a racist.
Right.
I have read both of those posts. Now, the first post is about the men raping the individual and...
Six teenage men.
Yep.
Raped a 16-year-old girl.
That's right.
Outside of their school.
Right. And now they got brought up on charges. They got arrested. All that good stuff.
Correct. And now, the reason I posted that article is because I thought it was kind of awkward how the author the whole time, when this situation had nothing to do with Ferguson and riots and stuff like that, kept saying, well, this is because of the situation in Ferguson that six teenagers raped a girl.
Right.
And so going around.
And I'll be the first to say that I read the entire article twice through.
Right.
Because another individual recommended I read it. You know, read all the stuff that you read. I read it twice through. And I will say this. I do not believe that that article at all is a racist article. I don't feel that it comes from a racist point of view. I think people are very sensitive right now to race relations in the United States of America. And so I feel like they're just going to dig deeper and jump in faster than they need to on certain things. Now, the second article you posted, I did feel like that one had a little bit more of an edgier racial connotation. The kind of person that would post that definitely is not on the pro Mike Brown side. Let's just put it that way. Definitely not. And I do feel that there is that. But that, here's the thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand there is a difference between having a difference of opinion and being a racist. Because I think that that's the second thing I wanted to get to, is getting lost in our vernacular and in social media right now across this great land.
But there's also trying to start conversation. I posted the article and shared it because of the fact that I did find it interesting how it was worded, things like that, and I wanted to get other people's viewpoint. So for the person to turn around, and it wasn't just one person, there were multiple people that hit me up private message and everything that said, wow, I didn't know you were such a racist and things like that. That's the furthest from the truth. So instead of just going through and spending my whole day, because I have thousands upon thousands of friends, going through and unfriend because you called me racist, unfriend. You know what? I needed to anyway take a step back from the world because things are getting a little abrasive for me. And I'm a person who deals with depression and things like that. So a lot of this stuff was actually kind of bothering me mentally. So to shut my Facebook down for a little bit actually has given me a lot of tranquility, and it's really helped me be able to spend time with my kids a little bit more. And the last 4 days since I shut it down, I have been so much more peaceful.
Okay.
And it's really helped me.
You've definitely become a lot less answering of the phone-ish. I can tell you that. Definitely. Very peaceful. Very peaceful and less hands up, answer the phone. Hands up, put them in your pocket and answer the phone.
I definitely answer the phone. I just don't always answer it very fast.
People who call you matter? I don't. Hashtag.
Why don't you answer my calls?
Yeah, hashtag why don't you answer my calls?
Just seriously, you know, with all of it, it just with some things in my life that have been kind of going on that I don't. I tend to hold things in a lot. I put up a very good persona. All right,
well, let me finish my point. My point was very simply this: racism.
Correct.
Versus having a difference of opinion and viewpoint on a situation. Someone who's racist, ladies and gentlemen, let's just go back a few years in history. In the past, people who were extremely racist, literally, they don't, and I've talked about this on the show before, they don't want to talk to a black person or a minority. They don't want to. They don't want to interact with them. They don't want to talk about them. They don't want to discuss anything with them. If they bring them up, it's only to other people that feel wholeheartedly and very deeply rooted the same way they do. Beyond that, they're willing to go to lengths to prove how much they dislike the other races. Like, they will I don't know, put them in showers and kill them off by the millions.
Right.
They will hang them from trees and burn their houses and cars and put crosses in their front yards. Just saying, I don't agree. I am on the side of Darren Wilson versus I am on the side of Mike Brown. Those people are not racist. And it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter if you're black or you're white or you're Jewish or you're, you right. know, Chinese or whatever. It doesn't matter who you are. Vladimir Putin can basically just say, I think that whole country over there has got a whole bunch of problems. That doesn't make him racist. That's just viewpoint. Now, if he comes over here and he goes, I'm going to kill you because you're an American. Now, that's a race issue. Like, that becomes a form of race. But
kind of,
that's a societal issue more than anything else. But that's my point. Like, you have to get to a very deep-seated place to be racist. And I don't think that we have that in the United States of America at the levels that it's being portrayed on social media. Bobby, you're not racist for the posts you made. Do I feel that some of these individuals maybe shouldn't have done it in a public forum? Sure. Sure, I will be the first to defend that and say, hey, you know, maybe they should have hit you up privately if they failed. Because I'm sure that you respected or liked some of these people.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just random people that hate you just came up and you're like, I love being friends with people that hate me.
Right.
It's probably honest friends that you like are decent people that you don't have a problem with.
Correct.
But they just have their own opinion and viewpoint, and it's very deep-seated.
Correct.
And so, like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, maybe they should have handled it in a less public way.
Correct.
And, you know, but that doesn't mean they're wrong either. You know what I'm saying?
They're not wrong for having an opinion. Social media is designed for you to express your viewpoints and your opinions and to create conversation with people to be able to, socialize.
So quickly, Marissa, while you're here, being the consultant that you are, the professional, just in about 30 seconds or 40 seconds or whatever, explain to me, like, what's your opinion of kind of the conversation we just had, like that aspect of social media?
Well, I know that because social media is so new, one of the things that we don't have are a lot of rules engaging.
Not a lot of checks and balances, yes.
Exactly. And we don't really know how properly to act in a lot of ways because we've never been in this situation before, so we don't have prior examples to go off of.
And we're dealing with people in some cases, or most cases, we haven't met before. Like, some people just only people they know. Other people like me, I don't really have that choice, you know? I got a few thousand Facebook fans. I haven't met probably 80% of them.
Well, and that's the whole thing, because how many of the people out there are hiding behind an avatar or an egghead profile picture and using that and abusing the system in which people are actually trying to have these logical discussions, and they're disrupting it for other people. And so whenever you do have people that throw out the race card, as soon as somebody says something that they don't agree with, that totally... makes it not even possible to have an actual conversation about anything. So,
right.
All right. Well, here's what I hold that thought there. We're going to take a quick break here on the queue. We are sponsored by photo.com. That's FOTO.com. Get over there, sign up, get those Christmas cards, 75 free 4x6 prints coming to you if you go to FOTO.com. That's photo with an F.com. We will be back on the queue. Mark Bland, producer Bobby, Marissa Lather, as well as we're going to be talking to Judith Baker. She was the mistress. Well, I don't think she's a mistress. She's not a mistress.
She's not a mistress.
She was a lover. She is the lover and former girlfriend of Lee Harvey Oswald, the man who killed John F. Kennedy. We will be back on the queue after this.
You're wasting your talent, Randy.
And gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland joined today by none other than Bobby Hickman. That's the producer, Bobby Hickman. What's up, Bobby Hickman?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Dan Walsh has decided to join us, ladies and gentlemen.
Despite road construction, I am here.
You are here, and you are queer, and I mean, it's all those great things.
The newly titled
all those great things.
Polar Voodoo Dan.
The Polar Daniel Voodoo. W. The Polar Voodoo. We will talk about Dan's WWE 2015 character in just a few minutes.
The Polar Voodoo.
As well as we have Marissa Lather here. Lather.
Yeah, you got it.
Marissa Lather here. And this is going to get exciting, ladies and gentlemen, because on the phone with us right now is a lady by the name of Judith Baker. Judith, how are you doing today, ma'am?
My voice is almost gone from all these interviews.
Oh, you're doing so many interviews. You are a hot commodity, as we like to say in the business. So,
I remember when I was hot.
Oh, fair enough. No. Uh-oh. You know what? I think you're still a sexy lady. I don't care what any of these other people say, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right. So Judith is the author of a book called Me and Lee.
Me and Lee, How I Came to Know, Love, and Lose Lee Harvey Oswald.
That's right. So you were in love and the lover of Lee Harvey Oswald, or are you not, ma'am?
I also wrote the book, David Ferry, Mafia Pilot, but I was not a mafia person, nor was I a pilot. However, in the case of Lee Oswald, he was my lover.
He was your lover. How long were you and Lee together?
Well, April, May, June, July, August, September, and then in October, November, we were by telephone. We were separated due to circumstances beyond our control.
Okay. And, well, what are those circumstances beyond your control? Like, is this the year that John F. Kennedy was assassinated?
Well, of course it was. And Lee was part of an abort team. It's very important to understand his whole history. He was a fake defector, not a real defector, to the Soviet Union. Came back on a State Department loan. He was being groomed to be able to go into Cuba as a pretend pro-Castro demonstrator first, and actually he was being groomed for something much more serious. He was part of attempts to kill Fidel Castro.
Now, how does a person like this get involved in stuff of that nature and that level? Like, that's not just something they recruit you out of high school and they're like, oh, hey, you know, just come on over and kill Fidel Castro if you get a chance.
There was no Craigslist at that time, too.
Yeah, there was no Craigslist.
Frankly, it seems that from the time I was in high school, I went to International Science Fair and met some great minds there. When I was 16, I had created a new way to get magnesium out of seawater. And then I was working on cancer. And why? My grandma died of it. That was my goal, was to conquer cancer. I had the highest IQ in the state of Florida. They had had many contacts, Nobel Prize winners. It's all in the newspapers.
Oh, yeah.
I gave cancer, lung cancer, to mice in only 7 days. And they had never done that before in any of their labs. So I got a lot of attention, and I got fast-track training. Of course, I was going to college. And
Wait a second. Go back for a second, Judith.
Yeah.
You gave rats cancer in 7 days, or you got
not
rid
rats,
of cancer?
Mice, my friend. Mice, not rats.
You got mice.
Rats are huge.
You gave mice cancer in 7 days, or you got rid of it out of them in 7 days?
No, I was trying to make mice have cancer so I could work with cancer to try and cure it.
Ah.
I had some theories using, like, for example, 2-alpha-methyltehydrotestosterone-propionate. That's a chemical and anti-radioactive steroid that could be injected under cancers. And I wanted to see if I could use that to try and divert radiation so it would actually come back through the tumor. You don't have to use half as much radiation. To do that, I had to get cancer in mice. And it turned out that that's what astonished all these scientists, because I did it, you know, I could get mice, weanling mice, they were germ-free. I could give them cancer in 7 days, and of course approved it. So then the doors opened before, and after 2 years of fast-track training.
Judith, real quick, I have a question for you.
Said, well, just a second.
Okay. Go right ahead, I'm sorry.
I just want to finish my sentence.
Yes, ma'am.
After 2 years of training, I had now been invited to New Orleans, and I had learned by then to handle the SV40 monkey virus and to deal with very vicious cancers. It said in the newspapers, I was instructed and was learning how to make cancer more deadly. Now, that's not what I wanted to start with, but that's how it ended.
That is crazy. Dan, what were you saying? What was your question?
I just wanted to know how many cigarettes you had to give mice to give them lung cancer in 7 days.
Well, it's not how many cigarettes, sir, because we had to use cigarette extracts, and I created an aerosol that floated in the air. They had no choice but to breathe it, but they were weanling mice. They had no immune system left because they'd been subjected to radiation, and I used a virus that causes cancer.
Oh. Wow. Now, let's talk a little bit about Lee and you, okay? How do you meet Lee Harvey Oswald?
Well, I had been invited to New Orleans, and I got there 2 weeks early. The doctors were out of town. They were actually in Central America, South America, somewhere like that. And I had come early, and I was at loose ends. I had to move in with at the YWCA and wait till they came back. I had very little money, so I moved in like with two strippers, a Playboy bunny.
Two strippers and a Playboy bunny?
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, that sounds like you had a party.
Well, that's what happened. I mean, for the first time in my life, I was seeing the other side of the world, you see, and that was not good. I was an asset. So they sent someone to rein me in and to keep me, you know, from getting hurt because this was New Orleans and I was naive and young. I'm sorry, I've almost lost my voice.
No, you're okay.
All day long. And in fact, I just finished, I'm finishing an oral history the University of Florida is doing on my life. So that's on the side. There are so many things going on. Anyway, Lee Oswald is not the way he's been pictured. He had been just recently, within a year, returned as a fake defector from the Soviet Union. And he had an unhappy marriage. And I was about to be married to someone. It would be a big mistake because the man I would marry would basically abandon me in New Orleans. Now, the doctors were out of town, but by the time they got back, because of a series of circumstances, which are talked about in the book, Me and Lee, but also in the book, David Ferry, Mafia Pilot, my new book, you find out that I was had so many characteristics that they thought I was on the secret side of the project. The project was a joint effort with the CIA and the Mafia to kill Castro. They were using medical means. They tried many ways to try to kill Castro in the past.
I see.
And now they were trying another one, you know.
Now, we know.
Now, this was history, so I started saving everything.
We know who Lee Harvey Oswald is, but you said you also have another book called David Ferry.
Explain, Mafia Pilot, right.
Yeah, explain a little bit about that, because apparently he's a friend of Oswald and one of the key pieces to the JFK assassination.
Yes, he is. In the movie JFK, you see that they pounce right on David Ferry and bring him in. And that's right after the assassination. The FBI interviews him, interview all his friends. Not a word of it gets into the Warren Commission. Not see, all the people are really involved. They're not, you know, this obsolete Warren Commission report, they're not in there. They avoided people like me. They avoided David Ferry. But in 1967, he couldn't hide anymore. Garrison now realizes that the plots to kill Kennedy began in New Orleans, and they centered with the knowledge that David Ferry had. He thought David Ferry, who had told a group of 70 retired military officers, he was their speaker of the day, and he was a gifted speaker. He's a gifted pilot. He was an extraordinary man who was just like me. He had self-taught himself to try to cure cancer, and he finally had gotten connections with Dr. Robert Heath and Dr. Mary Sherman. I was going to be brought in to work with Mary Sherman. Now, what's going on? David Ferry is standing right after the Bay of Pigs, standing before 70 retired military officers, and he tells them Kennedy ought to be shot.
Wow.
His part in the Bay of Pigs. Yeah. They told him to leave the stage, but he leaves the stage.
Yeah.
After the thing is over.
Right.
All these military officers come around and say, listen.
That's right.
We like what you said.
No, they did.
We like what you said.
Yeah, they do.
And we'd like you to join us in our plots. I'm really compressing things, but that's basically what happened. Later, David Ferry learns it. And you'll find this in the book, JFK and the Unspeakable. Later, Dave learns that it wasn't really Kennedy's fault, that he had been, this was really the deal that Richard Nixon put together, the CIA put together. There were a lot of treachery going on, things they had not told Kennedy. And he's already now deep into this plot. He's a gifted pilot. He is all the time flying between New Orleans and Dallas.
Judith, I have to ask you a question. I have to ask you a serious question. Yeah. Getting this deep on the JFK assassination, okay? Did Lee Harvey Oswald kill John F. Kennedy?
Lee Harvey Oswald tried to save the Kennedys. especially John F. Kennedy. We find that he was part of an abort team. In fact, we just had on the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, we had a wonderful convention, a conference that was held in Dallas, Arlington. It was supported by Facebook readers who had read Me and Lee, who had read David Ferry, and had read some of these other books. And they put together, we had so much support. We held it in the Sheraton Hotel, 27 of the best speakers you could find. And not one of them says that Lee Oswald shot Kennedy. And not only that, we have new witnesses. We have Tosh Plumlee, who, like Lee, was on what's called an abort team. Back in 1999, when I said that Lee Oswald was part of an abort team that was trying to save Kennedy's life, people had no way to prove that. But it turned out that Tosh Plumlee had told this to Jim Mars. Jim Mars, when he heard what I had to say, he was astonished. So now we're going up all the way now to 2014. Tosh Plumlee speaks to us. By the way, he's a contract pilot with CIA, and he has been before many congressional committees and hearings. We have our witnesses.
Yep.
And, of course, I have personal witnesses as to my relationship with Lee Oswald. Lee was there to try to save the president. That's why they had to shoot him in front of 70 Dallas police officers to make sure he wouldn't talk.
Judith? I need to know one question right now, because this is extremely interesting, okay? But I do have to, I have to digress, and I don't want you to take this personally, because I'm not trying to be rude or anything.
Oh, you're going to say something. Go ahead.
No, I'm not going to say anything rude. No. Yeah, go ahead. I want to know, how was Lee Harvey Oswald in bed?
I'll answer the question if you answer one for me.
Yes, ma'am.
How's your wife in bed?
She's fantastic. She works like a workhorse.
Yeah, I've heard that from certain guys around the neighborhood, too. So, I mean, I can...
Yeah. She was amazing. Now, what about Lee?
The reason I'm doing this, my friends...
Yes.
Because Lee Oswald and I were indeed lovers. And I'm doing this because I love him with all my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you can read all about our sex. It's in there.
Fair enough.
And me and Lee.
All right.
Who was the killer?
Who was the killer? Let's finish off on that moment right there. Who was the killer?
Lee Oswald said you look at several people, and 37 and a half hours before the assassination was the last time we talked together, and Lee said he's going to die. He had actually sent threats. He'd sent warnings. He had done everything he could to get the attention of the Secret Service and the FBI. He had succeeded previously in Chicago. We have Abraham Bolden. When I told people in 1999 that Lee had actually said he saved Kennedy's life, it was hard for people to believe it. But now, Abraham Bolden, Secret Service agent that was selected by Kennedy himself, first black Secret Service agent, has come forward and he said that in Chicago, he was there when the FBI called and told the Secret Service, stand down. Why? And I'm sorry, my voice is almost gone, but stand down because Kennedy had been stopped from getting on the plane. He was not going to come to Chicago. They had arrested armed men on the advice and information given to them by a man named Lee. And that Lee was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Wow.
And Lee told me about this back in 1990, back in 1963, and I told people in 1999. But the information that Bolden had, although it was on record, was not known until his book came out, until Douglas wrote about it, that he, Lee, was responsible for saving Kennedy's life in Chicago. So Lee said to me, he said, I'm a Marine. I'll always be a Marine. When they arrested him, he was wearing his Marine ring, for heaven's sakes. He said, I gave an oath that I would obey the president when I became a Marine. He said, how can I obey a dead president? He was able to penetrate this group because he was pretending to be pro-Castro.
Penetrate.
Pretending to be anti-Kennedy.
Yes.
And he's pretending along with David Ferry. But they had changed. They understood that Kennedy was in deep trouble. And I started memorizing everything they said. I saved the materials. I knew this was history. And I prayed I'd get a chance. Lee said, because he knows he's going to die, he said they're going to kill him. And he said, please tell my little girls that I was a good guy. That's what I'm doing right now.
If you want to read more about Lee and Judith Baker, you can check out the book, Me and Lee, How I Came to Know, Love, and Lose Lee Harvey Oswald, as well as David Ferry, mafia pilot, participant in anti-Castro, bioweapon plot, friend of Lee Harvey Oswald, and key to the JFK assassination. You can find that on Amazon.
You've got it.
Barnes and Nobles, right. eBay. Anywhere you can buy a book, you can find it.
Judith, we want
to get an Amazon. Also, you can go to Judith Baker, J-U-D-Y-T-H, Baker, blogspot.com. Read a lot more about David and about Lee Oswald there. And you can get an autographed book there.
Well, Judith, thank you so much for joining us on the queue today. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. Go ahead and rest that voice because we don't want you getting
Yeah, it's almost gone.
Yeah, it's almost gone.
Women can talk, can't they?
Well,
bye-bye.
We appreciate it. Take care, bye. Judith. Ladies and gentlemen, Judith Baker, the lover of Lee Harvey Oswald, refused to tell us how the sex was. I had to go in on my wife's sex life with me, how awesome she is in bed. She's kind of like Dan Walsh when me and Dan Walsh are together.
I'm a giver.
You're a giver. You know what I'm saying?
I take pride in that.
Hey, man, I accept all 1 inch, too.
I'm a giver. In this world, you have selfish lovers and unselfish lovers.
That's right.
That's how we're all going to be remembered.
That's a good point.
At some point.
By the way, I do want to create a abort team now. I feel that that's necessary for the queue. We need to have the queue abort team.
Already had an abort team.
Listen.
And there's a lot of penetration going on.
I can't serve a non-abort member.
That's a good point. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Judith Baker. You know, she's a great person, and we appreciate her coming on the queue.
She gave mice cancer.
She went out of her way to give. Dude, she
not
did not.
Not rats. Rats are larger.
Anyone can give rats cancer.
Do not.
You take some smarts, highest IQ in Florida, to give mice some cancer. You think mice are cute? Judith doesn't. She gives them cancer.
She gives them cancer.
Oh, my goodness. I just don't even know what to do anymore in this world.
You can go to photo.com.
You could go to photo.com.
And put out your pictures of Lee Harvey Oswald and Judith Baker.
Just go get yourself some random Lee Harvey Oswald pictures and print those bad boys off.
Put them in a photo book.
Or make a giant poster. Apartment.
You have what?
I have six in my apartment.
I have six in my apartment. I'm like, I hope so.
There, too.
That's on you, man.
Where else would you
have? But I have no photos to give to photo.com.
Marissa, thank you so much for sitting there quietly. You didn't have to. What'd you think of Judith?
It must be interesting having so much history written about your life.
Yes. She was going deaf. Or, I mean, silent or hoarse. Because basically they're writing a work of her. Bobby.
I don't even know what they're writing.
What are you doing,
it didn't
man?
Even stop
all right, we'll
her.
Talk about this later. Anyway.
She said, I got my voice is going out, but that won't stop me.
You know,
no
here's
one
the,
will.
No, it's been
I
speculated.
Get mice cancer.
No, on a serious note, it's been speculated for many years that Lee Harvey Oswald was not the original person who was. He was just the scapegoat.
I think Hoover did it.
You think Hoover did it?
Dude, Hoover hated the Kennedys.
Of course he did.
He
wanted power.
Like, hated everybody. He hated, like, Martin Luther King Jr. He hated, like...
But he really hated...
Other dudes that were in the FBI with him.
He hated the Kennedys.
Vaginas.
Because, yeah, because apparently the Kennedys were going to oust him for being gay.
Not Herbert Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover.
J. Edgar Hoover.
You're talking about J. Edgar
Hoover. We're talking about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah, we're talking
not the
about
real
him.
Person.
But also...
But Herbert Hoover, the former president that came and died.
Yeah, they
like
were so angry about
50
Hoover
years
bills.
Before John F. Kennedy was probably born.
They were like, isolationists during after World War I? That's ridiculous, Hoover. How can you not import without export?
But they said that...
I went there.
You know, part of the reason...
You didn't.
One of the big conspiracies about the whole thing is, you know, they talk about the fact that we have a secret government and all this other stuff. And apparently... One of the things that Kennedy was going to address in the speech down in Dallas was they say that he was going to announce that, yeah, there's a secret government and all this other stuff, and they were afraid, so they killed him, so he couldn't announce that.
Well, evidently we do have a secret government because we're going to be talking at the top of the next hour of the show about this Eric Garner situation out of New York.
Yeah.
And the no indictment call on the Eric Garner police debacle.
I have a problem with this one.
Yeah, a lot of people have a problem with this one because you pretty much
this is the one where he gets choked out.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And there's 15 minutes straight video, no cut. It's not doctored. It's literally from the minute the police walk up, the entire conversation, the thing that Eric Garner says to them, how he gets accosted, how they put him in the chokehold while he's in the chokehold, stating, I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
And he says, I have asthma. I can't breathe.
I can't breathe. And then eventually dies from being choked out.
Also, a chokehold administered in that situation, at least taught in the military, is a blood choke, not an air choke. So he screwed up doing that.
Yeah, don't go too deep. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But
yeah, we know real deep.
Because we know the difference so between
we need an abort team on our government, evidently, because...
Abort.
There is a secret government, and the secret government is not indicting police officers who legitimately did do bad things on camera.
What about the guy who threw the guy over, or the kid fell off the boat, and he was handcuffed, and then he drowned?
That was a weird one, man.
What are you doing handcuffing a dude on a boat? Like, at least put a life jacket on him. Like, you're on a boat, dude. Like, you are a police officer. You are putting someone in a position where they cannot swim. You need to make sure that person is not going to drown.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like,
because you're surrounded by
how
water.
How about you lock the handcuffs so they can't get falling off the boats?
Yeah.
Duh.
I just think that was gross negligence on the part of the police officers.
I don't even know. Anyway, I'm just... Marissa, save us. Save us.
I also think Church's Chicken's way greasier than
KFC. What would have been
KFC?
Your hashtag for the Judith Baker interview? The Judith Baker interview needs a professional hashtag. What is it? Go.
#Hot Harvey sex.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Winner. That's what I'm talking about.
I'll answer it for
hot
her.
Hot Harvey sex? Oh, it was hot Harvey sex. Marissa's over going, yeah, how was Lee Harvey Oswald?
How was? She's like, that's
I'm just curious.
She sent me a text message in the middle of the interview, and she goes, can I ask him how good it was? And I'm like, yeah, go ahead and ask him.
Was she firing a text, too? I wanted to ask how big it was.
Yeah, you have problems, man. You just got some mental issues is what you got going.
I do.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue with myself, Marissa Lather, as well as Dan Walsh, the Polar Vortex producer, Bobby. And while we're during this break, how don't you go on over there, hit photo.com, FOTO.com. Check them out. They have photo books. They have Christmas cards available for you to send out to all your loved ones, as well as you get 75 free prints just for signing up at photo.com. That's photo with an F, FOTO.com. We're going to take a quick break here on the queue. We'll be back on the show after this. Welcome back to the queue, of course. Mark Bland, joined today by producer Bobby, Marissa Lather, the social ideal on Twitter. Follow her and become a friend of hers, as well as the Polar Vortex walking reality.
Polar Voodoo.
Polar Voodoo.
Polar Voodoo.
The Polar Voodoo, Daniel W.
Daniel Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on, bud? How you been?
Been doing pretty good, man. Yourself?
I've been doing all right. We've been living...
Did you hear he beat Curtis Axel?
You beat Curtis Axel?
In the video game.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, yeah, we haven't really talked about the fact that Bobby has gotten WWE 2K15 or whatever it is.
Yeah, 15. WWE 2K15.
And he made a Dan Walsh character.
Well, one of the modes on the game is my career.
Right.
Normally, I just make some generic dude because I'm like, you know, I just want to unlock all the stuff. Well, I was like, you know what? I'm going to play as one of my good friends, Dan Walsh. So I created Dan Walsh. I went to the internet. I downloaded the Dan Walsh symbol.
Gave him black people's hair.
I downloaded that the happened. Dan Walsh.
But I also have like the facial features and the piercing green eyes of like a Tyson Beckford.
Okay.
So it actually makes me look like extremely
sexy.
Handsome.
Yeah,
so
really handsome.
So I have that exotic look now.
I downloaded the Dan Walsh logo, everything. Yep. Gave him a sweet intro. But the game won't let me call him the Polar Vortex because Vortex isn't part of the registered words. So Dan's now the Polar Voodoo. Daniel W.
Ah, I see. Marissa, how's that all going for you over there?
He's been NXT champion.
I'm really learning a lot here.
More than you want to learn.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we talked a little bit about it at the bottom of the at the top of the hour, and here we are at the beginning of the second hour of the show. But a Staten Island grand jury cleared NYPD cop in the chokehold death of Eric Garner during his caught-on-video arrest for peddling loose cigarettes, the Staten Island district attorney confirmed this past Wednesday. The panel voted on a no bill and dismissed all potential charges against Officer Daniel Pantaleo. Now, if that sounds familiar, the no bill, that's the exact same non-indictment charge
Freeze.
That they gave to Darren Wilson here in the Ferguson situation in St. Louis. The blockbuster decision capped weeks of investigation by a special grand jury, which was impaneled in September specifically to review evidence in Garner's racially charged death.
In a statement released by his union, Pantaleo said, "I became a police officer to help people and to protect those who can't protect themselves. It is never my intention to harm anyone, and I feel very bad about the death of Mr. Garner," he added. "My family and I include him in our family prayers, and I hope they will accept my personal condolences for their loss." The Police Benevolent Association president, Pat Lynch, said it was clear that Pantaleo had tried to do nothing more than take Mr. Garner into custody as instructed, and that he had used the takedown technique that he learned in the academy when Mr. Garner refused. "While we are pleased with the grand jury's decision, there are no winners here today," Lynch said. Now, I'm bringing this up not because The Q, which, by the way, you can check us out at theqnow.com. That's our website.
Or you can give us a call to get your opinion.
Oh, yes. I'd love to hear everybody's opinion. Now, if you're listening to us live, Bobby, what's that number?
347-974-0958. 347-974-0958.
Yes, give us a call. Rattle it off slower now. One more time.
347-974-0958.
Now, you can call us right now, live on the air. We'll put you on the air. You can't cuss, FCC rules. But we would love to hear if you are just completely outraged, as I am personally, about this no bill, no indictment for Pantaleo up there on the Eric Garner situation. I want to hear from you. I want you to, like, ring your voices true here on The Q. If you're listening to this and we're not live on the air, you're listening to it on the download, on the podcast, hey, it's okay. You can still call that number. Leave a message for us at any time, and we will play those messages on the air. Just try to not cuss, but we'll play anything. If you guys just call that number, we will let you speak your mind. Whether it's, I think Dan Walsh is super sexy. I think I can hear the fat in Bobby's mouth as he talks mm-hmm. into the microphone.
And his opinions are fat, too.
With his opinions that are fat, which Marissa might be a little lay on this one.
My opinions don't happen anymore. I don't have Facebook.
Yes. We had a hate mail. I get hate mails every once in a while. Actually, I get lots of hate mails every week, but every once in a while I read one live on the air that catches my attention. As I've stated many times on the show, I like to find the people that go above and beyond the service of hate mail to really lay one in. When we had the person who basically said that God wasted a perfectly good a-hole by putting teeth in my mouth, I thought that was a very classic.
It was worth reading.
I mean, that's unique. That took some thought.
Yeah, it was multi-level. It was multi-level. And I had appreciation. I wrote the individual back an email, and I said, just because how poetic and how awesome your line about the a-hole was, I'm going to read your show, the stuff live on the air, because it was just amazing. Like, that's the kind of line that I couldn't come up with.
That was good. I mean, I like to fashion myself as a pretty witty person.
Yes.
And that one, like, shocked me.
Yeah, caught you off guard a little bit.
It was. I was like, ooh, man, I wish I would have thought of that.
It paints the image, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I have an a-hole on my face.
Quite an image.
Quite an image.
Quite an image.
You know what else fills the a-hole? The image.
Whoa.
Dan Walsh.
Whoa.
I meant.
Is it Dan Walsh?
Fills
What a great way to start a sentence.
Does Dan Walsh?
You know what else fills an a-hole? Get ready, FCC.
Marissa, please tell us. What fills the a-hole? Go ahead.
Marissa,
jump in there. I'm looking at a lot right now.
I was going to say the other article or the other email that said that Mark was poured into his clothes and God forgot to say stop.
They forgot to say when?
That was
they poured
good
me
too.
Into my clothes. I'm so fat that was poured in my clothes. They forgot to say when.
Maybe that's what it looked more like. Bulk than muscle.
Well, you are kind of more bulk than muscle. Let's just be honest
with my volleyball knee.
But back to the Eric Garner situation. I am very, very outraged by this. And the reason I'm outraged, ladies and gentlemen, is very simple. When this situation went down, the video went viral immediately. It is literally 15 minutes in high definition. It is not just some camera phone off to the side, whatever. No, it's good, solid, clear. Audio is very clear. It is a very encapsulated picture of what happened for over 10 to 15 minutes in their conversation. It's the police walking up, discussing stuff with Eric Garner, it getting a little heated, him being asked to put his hands behind his back, him basically explaining, you guys have no reason to arrest me. You're just questioning me about these things. I'm telling you that I'm not doing these things. The cops basically accosting him at that point. That's not where the problem starts, though. The problem really starts is when they go to arrest him, the one officer, Pantaleo, puts him into a chokehold. While he's in the chokehold and he's being taken down by two other cops along with Pantaleo, he starts to say things like, I can't breathe. And it's extremely audible and very, very noticeable on the recording, as well as I have asthma and things like that. Well,
eventually, he ends up going to the hospital and dying from asphyxiation due to the chokehold that was administered to him. So if they would have just stopped holding on to him as hard as they did with the chokehold the way they had it. Now, I know in their argument is going to be simply, while I've got it locked in, I'm not going to release a suspect just because he says things. Unfortunately, in this case, though, those specific things literally lead to the reason why he dies. Mm-hmm. And you were on video choking him while he's telling you that he can't breathe.
Right.
That means, technically, no disrespect to anyone out there who might disagree with our viewpoint of this, but that's technically murder at that point. You are physically bypassing a warning from the individual who it's affecting, and you are going beyond what is necessary to put this person down.
And for what? Peddling, you said, loose cigarettes?
Something like that.
Yeah, he was selling cigarettes outside and not taxing them. Basically, if I were to walk up to you
20 cents
like,
pop.
Like we sold something on Craigslist together, I'm supposed to charge you sales tax.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and there's multiple police officers in this video, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, there are.
So even if the person was still unruly, there's still more than enough as far as manpower to hold him down without wrapping your, you know, and keeping your arm around
now,
the gentleman's
now throat. To Pantaleo's defense, and the only thing I have to his defense, it wasn't like he just held on to him all the way down to the ground for another good 5 minutes while just wrenching it in. Like, no, he puts it on him. There's some 30 seconds of wrestling while standing up, you know, trying to get him down. Once they get him down, it's another 30 seconds to maybe 45 seconds of him in the hold as they're putting his hands behind his back to arrest him. At that point, he releases the hold. It's not like 7 solid minutes of just choking a person to death. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
But at the same point, in the middle of this, evidently when you put on the original asphyxiating hold, you asphyxiate in this guy. Simple as that. If you are going to riot, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Brown and the Ferguson situation should not have been your choice.
Right.
I'm not saying that there's right or wrong in the Michael Brown case. It's still one of those things where we really just don't have a complete 100% idea of physically what went down between those two individuals that day. We have stuff that leads up to it. We have 40-plus witnesses that have seen different viewpoints. Some say hands up. Some say they weren't down. Some say he was charging. Some say he wasn't. There's still a lot in the air. In this case, 100% guaranteed, video proof, 100% unedited, top to bottom, the entire situation from the minute the cops walk up to the minute the man is put into an ambulance and taken away. Done. Like, there is no argument.
I'm normally a person, and I think on record on the show, that defends the police a lot.
Sure.
And, like, even in this one, just looking at the scenario, I just don't understand. Like, you can pin someone
down.
Well,
you do have a lot of outstanding warrants.
You have their head, which the body will follow the head. It has to.
Yeah.
You didn't have to do it that way. And you didn't have to hold on to it. I mean, I understand the whole wrestling to the ground. There's just choice maneuvers you would put on the gentleman. I don't see why he had him in like a side headlock and was like, I mean, he wasn't like you said, wasn't sitting or wrenching on him. But from what I saw, he's like leaning and he's got him.
True.
I mean, this guy's not going to be able to pick him up like that, especially with two other officers.
Other officers were literally on top of him.
Yeah.
Where he couldn't move. So at that point, if you've got the subject subdued, okay, if this is what you're doing is arresting this man, if you've got him subdued with other people on top of him, he can't move anywhere, why are you still administering the chokehold? That's
so
the problem.
Basically, a lot of people argued police brutality and racism, technically, racial interactions on the Michael Brown situation, okay? And without even this man being arrested or even witnesses being testimony be given by witnesses yet, within 24 hours after Michael Brown is shot and killed, they are burning down a Quick Trip and rioting, which turned into 14 straight days of 2 weeks of rioting. And then once again, when the announcement was made the other night of the no true bill, they went and rioted again and burned down a Little Caesars that Bobby loved a lot. Evidently.
Well, it's not that I loved it. It was one of my first jobs.
See how sad he just got?
It was one of my first jobs. It really pisses me off.
Right.
Because this is the city that I grew up in. This is the city that I lived there with my family. And people, you know, want to say, well, the protesters and the rioters are different people. They're not different people because of the fact that they, the rioters and the looters, broke off from the protesters. They're the same people. They are one and the same. So when I see four NFL players, five NFL players, whatever it is, walk out of a tunnel.
Really? Are you going to go down this road?
Yeah. I got because it's against the NFL policy.
Damn it, Bobby, you're racist. You're a racist, Bobby.
I don't give a damn what people think.
You're a racist.
If you sign a contract to be an NFL player, you follow the rules of the league.
And that's, and I'm going to defend him on that because it's not a matter. Here's the thing. You represent a corporation. You represent a company. You represent a team. It is not your
Bobby's
place.
Not a racist. Never mind. Dan just made me think about it
well,
again.
I'm not saying. I understand that people are like, oh, it's a question of freedom of speech. But no, when you represent another, when you represent a company and there are rules in your contract, there are rules in the league, it's a business move. And the other night I experienced something at a comedy club where the comedy club asked that nobody say anything about Ferguson. And the way they said it was, listen, right now it's not something to joke about. And number two, people came here for 2 hours to not hear about it. So right. As a football team and a football player, like, we understand there's a lot of stuff that's horrible, but these people chose
right
to
now,
come
here. Right now,
hagging
it on is not the idea.
Yeah, and you came into a situation where they were going to try and get away from it. And
now, my problem with this is, in my defense of the football players, and I will take defense of these, it was four football players. It wasn't all 50 players on the team.
It
does. Five, whatever.
It doesn't matter if it was one player.
But it does. Like, it's one thing for a certain section to have their opinion, and that's fine. Because there are Rams fans, no disrespect, there are Rams fans that do side with Michael Brown and those people who are protesting in Ferguson. And if those people come out with their hands up, which is whatever, what, it doesn't even matter what the purpose is. That's just their sign for this situation in history, okay? If they come out, they represent those people so be it. It was, what, 15 seconds total? Walked out, music hits, all that, and boom, they were done. Hands were down, and they went and played football.
That's 15 seconds more than it should have been.
Yeah.
Because these five
Sounds
players...
Sounds to me like your butt hurt. Do you want to go vote for the Tea Party?
It's not being butthurt. It's the fact that these players come out with blue and gold on their uniform and the word St. Louis. Not everyone...
Well, they're already a step above green and gold. Let's just put it that way.
Well, at least green and gold has championships.
Yeah.
That's why we're called Title Town.
Yeah, because the Rams never won a championship.
We have one.
Tell me how many Green Bay has.
They call it Title Town because back in the 60s, there was 100. No other teams playing, and they won the first title.
It doesn't matter.
That doesn't make it Title Town.
We were better than everybody else.
You know what? I hope Aaron Rodgers comes out on the field and does the hands up, don't shoot sign. What will you do then? Will you just give up on the Green Bay Packers?
I will. I would give up on them. Here's why. Hold on. When you walk out on the field, you represent the city that you are playing for. When the St. Louis Rams players, Jared Cook, Tavon Austin, Stephen Bailey, when these guys walk out on the field, they have St. Louis across their jersey.
When Chris Jericho walks out on the Rams field, go on.
Chris Jericho doesn't play. He would have played hockey anyway, Stooge.
Yeah.
But anyway,
get with it.
These players represent the city that they play in. So for them to walk out, not everyone agrees with that viewpoint. For them to walk out is disrespectful.
You know what I want to do right now? I'll tell you what I want to do right now. I want to go over to Best Buy, okay?
Sure.
I want to get you a high-end digital camera.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over to GoDaddy.com. We're going to get you a blog set up because you need a blog in your digital camera to be a citizen journalist. And we're going to send you out there, Bobby, so you can be a citizen journalist for the Q.
I would tune in.
We'll
even stop by Starbucks on the way to the citizen journalist moment for you, and we'll get you a big old venti mocha frappuccino.
Did someone pay you to say all these corporate names?
Yes,
like,
actually, we just got money from all
that. He's getting money that we don't know about, dude.
Actually, I do want to talk about that.
Before you go any further, stop. Before anybody goes any further, we haven't heard at all from Marissa. I would love to hear from Marissa on this situation. What do you think about this Eric Garner situation that we brought up about the choking in New York City, and as well as what's your personal opinion on Ferguson? And don't be afraid to give your opinion because, listen, just because she gives an opinion doesn't mean that she's a horrible human being. It just means this is her opinion. It's not like she walks around yelling it at everybody. Neither do we. Bobby doesn't do it. I don't do it. Dan doesn't do it. So don't sit here and castrate her or me or anybody on this show for the few moments that you hear our opinion and think that that encompasses who we are overall as an entire human being. Now go ahead, Marissa.
Well, thank you for that intro.
No, I think it needs to be prefaced because the business you work in, they can be a little edgy at times. And these are the type of things that they want a PC about. And I understand. I get it.
Well, I mean, I think that they're two very different situations, and so you have to take that into account. I think the whole thing with Ferguson is we have so many people on two different sides, and people are arguing with each other on the two different sides. And if all of that energy was put from both sides into actually making changes that mattered, then we would actually be able to move forward and be a more progressive culture.
I like what she just said.
That's the whole viewpoint that I've been trying to say. These people are pissed because of the fact that the law enforcement and the chief and the prosecuting attorney isn't on their side. You voted those people in. Don't be pissy. Don't be butthurt. You voted them in.
Oh, yeah. Don't be butthurt. Like five Rams players coming out with their hands up. Don't be butthurt. Yeah,
November,
go ahead.
In November,
I'm listening.
In November, there was no one that ran opposed to Robert McCullough. Why? If you didn't like him.
That's true. That's I will true. Agree with that.
If you didn't like him, you would have ran against him.
That's very true.
And they were already stating, you know, publicly that they did not want him to be the prosecutor.
Marissa, do you feel like, let's talk a little bit about this aspect since you are the social media person that you are. Obviously, you've seen the hashtag Ferguson. You've seen all the different hashtags that are associated with the Twitter. I'm sure you have friends that are friends of yours that, you know, constantly are posting about the things that are going on throughout the United States regarding police, citizens, black, white, racial tensions, all that good stuff. Do you think that this is a healthy thing? Like, where do you stand on that, on the social media aspect of it?
Oh, totally not. I mean, I can definitely identify with Bobby deleting his Facebook. I actually deleted the Facebook app from my phone so that I could store more pictures in it.
Fair enough.
And, well, that's a good reason.
And it's been very peaceful. I still have my Pages app so I can manage all of my business pages, but the day-to-day conversation, it really can wear on you. And yep. It has to do with how much of what you're hearing, you're letting affect you. You have to kind of keep grounded and make sure that you stay open to all different viewpoints, but also make sure that you have the information to really back up what you're saying. Don't just throw out words and terms and labels, especially things like race.
Well, there's a lot of people that I feel that have a, they all of a sudden get this sense of pride, and the best way to say it is they get that, you know, they get off on the fact that they could sit behind that keyboard and they're not going to have any repercussions. And that's the problem with why I also deleted my Facebook.
Well, that brings me to a new question for you, Marissa. And let's go down this road for a little bit here before we put you on the hot seat. I have a game called Would You Lather. Instead of Lather, which is your last name, Lather. Because it's spelled the same, Would You Lather. That's going to be the hot seat game for today.
I feel awkward now.
You should feel awkward. Maybe you should go put on a Rams jersey and put your hands up in the air as you walk out. Maybe that'd be a really good idea.
Maybe I would be intelligent and think
I
on my own.
I love how he just, like a kid, why don't you just go put your hands up then in that thing you don't like? Why don't you just go do that?
Okay. Are we too involved in social media in 2014?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that that's your forte to make money, but at the same point, you're more on the corporate side. Let's just put social media where it really is. 90% of social media is done on a personal level as opposed to a business level. Technically.
Well, it has to do with the person. I mean, if you really place so much value in your life into a computer screen, or as we call it, the little magic box that is mm-hmm. everybody's cell phone, you can't live your life based on what you're seeing on this one device. You have to remember it's real life, and you have to make your decisions based on actual experiences, and people forget about that.
Now, I have brought up on the show before that I feel that because of social media where it is now, it is basically an extension of real life for us. Things you say online now, back in the day, people could always be like, oh, that's just stupid. You take Facebook seriously. Now you say things online, you post a picture, you do something stupid. It can have repercussions in the real world. Hardcore. And so that's where that's why my question is, are we too involved in social media? Has it become too much of a part? Because like you said, there are quite a few people that literally live with their heads cocked at a 45 degree angle, looking at their cell phone all day on social media, constantly posting different things. And that is their life.
Well, I mean, and then you have to also think about legally, what are the repercussions of what you're putting out there? I read an article where emojis were actually taken into account as evidence as a death threat.
And really? Emojis?
Emojis.
Bro, you when was this?
Post a gun emoji.
No, that's
next
crazy,
next to the
though.
Little X-y-faced eyes?
Yeah.
Really? And that was actually admissible in court? That's so crazy that they would use that. I mean, eventually if it led to somebody getting murdered, and then they have this person sending emojis that basically say, I want to murder you, and they can prove 2 and 2. I mean, I get it. That makes sense.
I wonder if they snuck up on him and sent him a bunch of knives or something to say, I'm right behind you.
Oh, see, I don't get into the deep emoji. Are you an emoji person? Do you get deep into the emoji game?
I have a select few that I enjoy, but...
What's your favorite? What is your favorite emoji?
Oh, the blowy kisses.
The blowy kisses?
Yeah.
How many of those is the Lowry getting? All the blowy kisses all the time. It's like, hey, baby, I just put the wash into the dryer. Like you told me this morning before you left. And you're just like, 52 blowy kisses back to back.
Is he in any relation related to the people that own Lowry's Steakhouse?
No, he's not that Damn I know it. Of. But we'll look into that. And Damn if so,
because
I
mean, if they are, they know what's going on. Yeah.
They have such good seasoned salt and steaks. Oh, my God.
You know who else has got really good seasoned salts? That one wide receiver from the Rams who came out of the tunnel with his hands up the other day. He's really good at cooking. Yeah. And I'm a big fan of him.
Well, that's good.
Does he sell them
Jericho,
online?
Chris Jericho's
prisoner
Adams.
Of Azkaban.
Adam, whatever his name is.
Dan. This is not a time to bring Harry Potter in.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh, yeah.
Of all the things that could have offended him.
What if they would have walked out into Dragon Alley with those hands up? That's what I want to know about.
The very first thing that would have happened is Voldemort would have
came up with their hands up.
Voldemort would have put a spell on them.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. Mark Bland, Dan Walsh, producer Bobby, and Marissa Lather is here. We are going to be taking a quick break. Check out theqnow.com as well as our presenting sponsor, photo.com. That's FOTO.com. We'll be back on the queue after this.
Voices in the air. I hear them loud and clear. Telling me to listen. Whispers in my ear. Nothing can compare. I just want to listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland bringing you back with a little Invincible. MGK representing Cleveland in the house.
Dan just came up with the best idea ever.
The absolute best idea of all time.
For Christmas, we're going to have the music of the queue. And it's going to be you and I singing every song that we've ever come back to.
Yes.
Because you guys always sing the songs.
Yes. Well,
great.
We know we love music. Marissa, are you a big music fan?
Oh, I am.
She loves the music. Who's your favorite group?
There are a lot to choose from, but right now I'd say The Kills.
That is your favorite group?
If I had to choose.
What was your favorite group in high school growing up? Are you from St. Louis originally?
From Southern Illinois.
What part?
Carbondale.
Carbondale. Oh, yeah. Living down there in the Seadale.
Yeah.
College CBD. Town.
Yep.
Did you go to a lot of Carbondale football games?
I went to a lot of tailgating.
Where did you go to what school did you go to?
Carbondale Community High School.
Community High School, ladies and gentlemen, the product of.
Did you put your prom pictures on photo.com?
Yeah, did you put your prom pictures on photo.com?
I have put many pictures on photo.com, but not prom.
Oh, fair enough.
You don't like prom?
Fair enough. No, it's not that she didn't like it. Was it around back then? Like, how long ago? Well, see, you said you were 30 earlier or 31. So that would have been like 13 years ago, man. That's a long time ago. In fact,
are you saying
YouTube
pictures?
Didn't exist back then.
Yeah, but are you saying pictures didn't exist?
No, pictures did, but photo.com, like people still had 56K dial-up and AOL was still giving free minutes. Like, do you realize that?
People are still getting AOL free minutes, though.
That's a Carbondale scar right there.
Yeah? You got a story behind that?
Yeah, what happened in Carbondale, buddy?
My friend and I, Johnny Bananas.
Yes, from
MTV.
We're
doing a bar appearance down there.
Uh-huh.
And let's just say this is back in Dan's
party days. What is the name of the bar? Do you remember?
I think it had something to do with frogs.
Horny Toad?
It was a big bar. It was a nightclub.
Okay.
They were super cool, and I should know it, and they were so sweet to us. But, yeah, so this is back in my day. So there was some booger sugar and some alcohol, and I was ready to go.
Booger sugar.
Hold on, sugar? Did you have Smarties?
No, cocaine, if we're just going to be like that.
But have you heard this story?
No,
this kid got suspended.
I know.
Back to your story. Hey, talk about
you know
sugar.
What? I think your story is really great, but hold up. I got a more important story. Go.
This kid
Kanye shrug. All right, go ahead. You ain't got all the answers, Sway! You ain't got all the answers!
Yeah.
You didn't drop $1 million on that clothing line?
Okay, anyway. This kid got suspended from school because
Blue.
Hey, yo, Blue.
Blue. Take the rollie out your mouth. You're going to chip a tooth. Go on. I'm sorry.
What are you talking about?
That's funny stuff from Jay-Z. Never mind. Go on.
All right, go ahead.
Kid got suspended from school because he brought Smarties. Got suspended for the rest of the year. Because they said Smarties, if you crush them up, is cocaine.
That sounds like something our friend Chris would do. The one fan of the show that we got. It sounds like something he would do.
The one fan that we have?
The one fan of the show that we have. The only fan that we've ever had.
Who doesn't just listen to us for wrestling tickets.
No, he doesn't. Wow. Okay. Anyway, yeah, the Smarties thing. So anyway, down there, you're at the Horny Toads in Dragon Alley.
I'm trying.
With some Wizards and Wiccans doing some atheism.
It's pretty big.
Pinch Penny Pub.
The Pinch Penny Pub.
Copper Dragon.
Copper Dragons.
Gatsby's.
Gatsby's.
No, I would remember that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyways, if you think about it, let me know. I thought it had something to do with three frogs or something. I don't know. I could be wrong.
What is this train wreck that the queue has become?
Anyways, so I had a bit of a substance abuse problem in those days. So, and that is not a reflection on MTV. That was just a Dan Walsh thing. So
we called that waking up for you back then.
That was it, man. I was like, when dudes are like, man, he did all this coke and all this alcohol. I was like, that's Tuesday, bro.
Dan's like, it's only 5 o'clock.
It's only five. But anyways, so I'm really, really amped up and, a situation had happened where my friend Johnny was trying to antagonize me because he had this thing where he's like, you guys want to see how crazy he gets? I know how to make that happen. And so people who obviously watched the show were like, yeah, we've seen it on MTV. We want to see it live, I guess. So I was in a bathroom with a young lady and he kept pushing the door open and I was like, you need to stop. And he did it again. He kept trying to like film it and put it on YouTube. And I was like, if you do it again, man, like we're going to have problems. And so knowing that's what he wanted me to do. So he did it, and all I remember is charging at him, and we went, like, into somebody's laundry room. I don't even remember where we were at.
And, like, hold on. What kind of bar?
What bar has a laundry room?
This is hey, Susan. Nah. Susan, you don't mess up the bar downstairs. The laundry room's upstairs if you want to do anything.
Are you sure you were in Carbondale?
Yeah. This was after the bar.
Well, that doesn't surprise us. What we think about Carbondale, yeah, there's possibly that they just put it up in a laundromat, and that's what they called their bar.
You have to remember in these days, everything.
The raging nightclub, he said.
Yeah.
Everything was a blur. So, no, this wasn't at the club. Someone like invited us back to their house and we were there and there's a bunch of people and I charged at him and like tackled him into the laundry room. And then the next day I know I got up and my hand just like split and I'm like bleeding and I'm like, dude, I have to go to the hospital. And he just goes, no, man, I got to make a plane.
So Marissa just showed her arm like they were like, you know, you guys scarred brothers.
You did that too? Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
No, the problem is she was in the laundry room with you. Yeah, she was the other half of that, and that's why her hands all
But neither one of us remembers. So.
I was there as a sober driver. I brought a scooter.
And I'm not allowed at the Golden Corral anymore in Carbondale.
All right. I want to move on with the show because you guys are cracking me up.
I'm glad you just passed that over.
Hold on.
Do you want me to tell the story that I told you?
About?
Go ahead, I guess. The potty?
Go ahead, please.
Okay, so, all right, so the other day, I'm sitting there, and I had to go to a meeting, okay? And before the meeting, I stopped off at
This is out of control. Dan Walsh, get prepared, put a little powder on your hand, a bitch slap is going to have to happen.
So,
go ahead.
I went to Schnucks before this meeting because I wanted to get something to drink to have for the meeting. And it's like 6:30 in the morning, and I walk in and there's...
I've got to do play-by-play on or a color on this. Go ahead. Keep going.
So it's 6:30
in the morning. We got a large, heavy-set Bobby who's
Jerry Lawler. Stop being annoying. Hold on.
Yeah.
Whoa. I'm just kidding.
So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue, Mark Bland. And
I got Dan's mic. Okay, so...
Grab his mic.
All right, so anyway...
Get your mic back.
Push that back up.
I don't even want to touch it now.
Go
so
ahead.
So anyway, okay, so I
make
go...
Make it quick. Come on.
I go into a grocery store, and while I'm in there, I'm like, man, I really have to use the restroom. So I go in there, and me, I'm just kind of weird. I always go to that last stall, and I kind of do my thing. But somebody's in there, and I'm like, oh, God, no. What am I going to do?
No.
So I walk out, and I'm like...
He walks out, yes.
There's the women's restroom.
There is the women's restroom. It's sitting right there.
I went, is there anybody in there? So I kind of pushed the door open a little bit, and I went, hello? No answer. Hello? No answer. All right, we're going in. So I went in, very last stall, very quickly, as quick as I could, just in case. And I'm going to the restroom, knees up, so nothing's on the floor.
Now
so
imagine seeing Bobby the size that he is. Nothing personal like to Bobby. This. He's a big dude. To get his knees up while doing what we're getting ready to talk about.
It was pretty good work.
Yes.
So that nobody could see what's going on.
Yes.
I get done and I'm like,
All right, still no no.
He drops the nastiest, longest turds into the stall.
So
in the women's restroom.
So I'm like
the nastiest.
I'm like, all right, well, we're gonna, you know, tuck the
shirt. Chalupas with turkey ground beef on them. Like, it's ridiculous.
Tuck the shirt back in and we're gonna go.
Yes.
And the whole time I put my coat on and I'm like,
can you just imagine how stressed out this dude is while sitting in there dropping the deuce and knowing he's in the women's restroom?
I open the stall,
waiting.
I open the stall door and I'm like, please don't let anyone walk in here. So I hurried up and I make a beeline to the door, get out, and I hook the left.
Didn't even wash
sees.
His hands. Just grab the women's knobs with all there's, that poop in.
There's,
oh, yeah.
There's hand sanitizer on yes. the thing as you walk out.
As you walk out,
pull
the
door,
outside
sanitize,
of the door.
Yes. And walk around the corner. And I'm
Marissa,
like,
I do have to ask
no one
you,
saw. Thank
hearing
God.
Bobby's story, what do you think as a female? How do you feel?
I'm happy I don't sit on public toilet seats.
Oh, that's like my wife.
Yeah.
Are you what they call the hover? Do you do the hover move?
Oh, yeah.
You do the hover game? Oh, yeah. Yeah, hover game.
You don't build the bird's nest?
No, my wife, no. The
get
hover
some sticks.
Too much contamination.
The okay, hover game okay. is hilarious because my daughter, 5, right?
That should be a movie.
She's
the hover
only,
game.
She's only like game. She's only like a year potty trained tops right now. Right. Maybe a year and a half tops. My wife has to teach my daughter the hover game, which can be very difficult when they're really short and there's not a lot of foot room to mm-hmm. hover with.
Yeah.
So there's
yeah.
a lot of sitting on the standing on the seat type thing going on there. Real weird. And I, well, she was even showing her in our bathroom at the house. No.
I picture like
it's a
when
squat.
I...
It's a squat, but it's like, hey, you know, you're not tall enough to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah.
Hey, start them while they're young.
It's weird. I'm telling
dude,
you.
Dude, honestly, I sit all on it. I don't care. If that's how it's going to kill me, is
he
my
just
contamination.
Rubs it around.
I all right. Do. I'm all right. The reason you
Bobby,
don't sit on the chair.
Do you have our hot seat numbers ready to roll, bro? Because it's time for us to put... That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, every single time that we have ourselves a guest here on the queue, Marissa Lather is going to be the latest victim of what we call the hot seat. I basically grab 5 random questions, and I just want to, you know, when people come on the show, because the show tends to be a little controversial, a little edgy, a little bit this, a little bit that, you're going to get a little bit different appearance and view of the individuals that come on the show. You know right. what I'm saying? Like, I don't want your typical, I'm the social ideal, buy my business, blah, 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 which that's all great, and but people want to know the deeper things about you, and this is probably the only place where this is going to happen. The only place. So, I have decided to do this 5 questions mm-hmm. is would you lather, because her last name is Lather, spelled like lather. So instead of doing would you rather, we're going to do a game of would you lather.
He's so proud of this.
So proud of
this. I'm going to explain it again.
Number 5. All right, so here we go. Would you rather lather? Okay. Would you rather be irresistible?
See what I just did there?
Dan, catch that? Did you
You're
catch
special.
It?
Thanks.
Yes.
Would you rather be irresistibly sexually attracted to cantaloupes or have an orgasm every time you hear the word pancake?
Pancake.
I mean, is that even a question?
That's a question.
Take me to IHOP. Let's go.
She wants orgasms with pancakes.
Who don't?
That's a good question.
Is there buttercream involved?
Would you rather have a peanut stuck in your in the back of your throat forever or permanently have Cheeto dust on your fingers forever?
Well, the Cheeto dust is quite tasty. Yeah.
Yes, but it is orange and it gets all over everything, right?
Well, you can just bring a
it
wet wipe.
It could be her mark.
But once you, it's on your fingers forever, there's no wiping it
but
off.
But you're giving them Cheeto juice or Cheeto dust.
That's... Cheeto? Like, is that David Cheeto from
yeah.
the for the New York Rams with
Trayvon, the New York
Trayvon
Rams?
Austin?
Put it together, buddy.
Trayvon Martin Austin?
Land your plane. Let's
okay.
do it.
So you're doing Cheeto dust?
Well, I think I have to, yeah.
All right, number 3. Would you rather fly up and explore outer space or dive down and explore the deepest parts of the ocean?
Oh.
Can go to outer space or the deepest, darkest, uncharted points of the ocean.
The ocean.
You're a big ocean person.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, what would you do?
I would do the ocean because there's still a lot that we don't know.
Exactly.
We know more about our about space than we do about our own oceans.
Totally.
So you would do the ocean too?
I really wouldn't want to do either of them, but yeah,
you
let's do
sound
ocean,
like such a puss.
I don't care. I don't need
I
to go.
I feel like MTV just didn't really
you know
look
what?
For people.
Has
back in the
anybody
day.
From the bottom of the ocean knocked at my door and said, "Hey, listen, I just want to see where you live"? No, they never have. So why do I need to go do it for them?
On that note,
number two. Would you rather, Marissa? Melissa Rizzo.
You did call her Melissa, I think, at one time.
I did say Melissa. Marissa. Would you rather never be able to wear clothes or never use electricity again?
Oh, I would not wear clothes.
You would never wear clothes. You go buck naked, but you have to have electricity.
Yeah. Well, because that way I can at least work from my house. And if
what if you have to go outside, though? Like, what if you have to go meet a client somewhere? Like, you got to come do the Q show. You're just going to come here buck naked?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
We don't have a problem with this.
Why not? I'm not saying that we have a problem with you being naked. Like, I'm just saying.
What's the issue?
Would you have a problem being naked in public to go places like the grocery store?
Well, I mean, there are surfaces if I really did feel like that was an issue.
All right.
But, I mean, there are a lot worse things that I could be arrested for.
She is really sold on her cell phone is what I'm hearing. That's all. The words I'm hearing are, I love my cell phone. I need electricity to keep it running. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Number one. Would you rather? This is a special one.
All right.
Prepare mom and dad.
Would you rather lather or rather?
Would you rather lather or lather? I did that. Did you see what I just did there? I'm Mark Bland.
We go to Dragon's.
No, I'm God, Island. Actually. Remember that, me? I'm God.
Sorry, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did you waste teeth on your own face button?
Melissa Rissa, the lathers.
Montel Jordan.
Would you rather watch any porn with your parents or watch porn of your parents but by yourself?
Sweet Jesus.
So it's a one-time thing. It's a one-time thing, but it's either watch a porn of someone else with your parents, like you guys sitting there enjoying an hour porn, or watching a one-hour porn by yourself in your room by yourself of your parents.
Well, okay.
How the hell do you ask that?
This is a real, this is a really good question. Because on one hand, if I was by myself, technically I could probably look away, right?
Sure.
But then it also has to depend. Are we talking softcore? Are we talking
hardcore, regular porn.
Okay. I'd probably like to watch by myself and just look away and give them the privacy that they needed.
Okay. So you've added a caveat. You're going to look away. You're not going to watch the extra. I think that the whole
point
is...
You didn't give me any rules.
Oh, my God.
10-4.
These people...
Hands up. Don't shoot.
The talent.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Let's give it up for Marissa being on the hot seat. Good job, Marissa. I appreciate that. I want to talk a little bit more about social media before you get out of here, though.
Gotcha. I want to be on the hot seat.
Obviously, doing this type of a show, we've garnered quite a huge fan base of the show, a lot of listeners. But we are definitely, whether it's Dan going in on whatever his subject is or Bobby going in on something racist that comes out of his fat mouth.
Tommy McTuberson, shut your pile.
Or me saying something really rude like I just did. Sometimes we go down these roads.
That was so ridiculous. Like, way more than you needed to.
All right. No, Bobby's not racist. We've already discussed this. Daniel,
dude, you added race and fat. You're just like, you know what, Bobby, with your fat racist not being able to read well with your one eye crooked and just looking strange.
I like that crooked eye.
Pooping in women's bathrooms on the floor and then eating it.
All right, hold on. I'm going too far.
I'm sure.
Hold on. Well, you weren't here for the first break of the show when we had a very deep discussion about the racist aspect of somebody who attacked Bobby for racism.
I know the whole story. I have Facebook too.
Now here's the deal.
I look at it. I just don't respond to everything Mark decides to tell me, and then he gets angry because I don't have a comment about it. Like, it's like, was there a question?
Hey, our guest, Marissa Lather. Thank you so much for being here, guest Marissa Lather.
Oh, my pleasure.
At least you got her name right this time.
Marissa.
We tend to get a little edgy, controversial. Sometimes we just put out topics to like stir the pot just to see, like for research for the show, especially in my case, to see what people say and just to like get conversation going so that we have some things to play off of. But that does come with a negative connotation when it comes to social media. And one of the questions I did have for you are, what are your thoughts on how to deal with the negative people on social media? Should you engage them? Should you not? Like, how do you handle that aspect of social media yourself? Or how would you recommend this too many people out there?
Well, I know that we should all probably just block them and ignore them. And if we could do that to all of the annoying bad people in our lives, that would be lovely. But then that would also be kind of boring.
But then you would, but then you wouldn't know when they went on a bike ride for 12 miles. Like there's times when you would know these things or not.
Or how much they really needed that coffee they got at 8 p.m. but had to wait 30 extra more minutes.
Right.
My theory, that's why other countries hate us.
That is
because of Facebook. They're like looking down the stream of things, and it's like, oh, pray for my grandmother. Oh, this church burned down. And then there's like one person like, I had to wait 20 minutes for Starbucks. It's like, oh, we should blow stuff up in the country.
We do have problems with people that are like that. But go ahead, Marissa. I'm sorry. We didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no. I mean, it all depends on your own personal level of what all you can really take, I suppose, if you're irritated by the coffee people.
Do you get irritated quickly?
I have a very short fuse, but I've also learned to combat that with lots of patience.
And kissy faces.
And kissy faces. Lots of emoji, kissy faces.
I just dive into the emoji world if I get...
I understand. Have you ever had to deal with something like that? Something that was like really just outlandish and it was somebody who's a personal friend and like you had to go down that road?
I've definitely...
And we don't need their name. I'm just asking.
Yes, we do. You have to tell us the exact name.
Oh, okay.
And their address.
Their address, how old they are, who they're dating.
Social Security and why numbers. They stole your boyfriend when you were 17. Go ahead.
Oh, that didn't happen.
No, that never happened?
It was the
She was so she proud was of that. She's like, that never happened. I took care of my man. Kissy faces. Kissy faces.
Not your puppy.
Not your puppy.
How many emojis I'm standing here. No, they didn't.
No,
girl.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway.
So go ahead, baby. Tell us about what's going on in your
Even
life.
Though we already know.
Okay, Moisha.
Darling, tell us how you didn't lose your boyfriend when you were 17.
So what are we talking about?
No, I don't even remember.
We're talking about negative people.
It's a common thing here.
No, of course. Everybody has people that try to be negative, are annoying, and they don't realize it. And so you have to understand people's intentions and make your judgment call based on that.
I think that's very fair. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you to Marissa Lather. Are you going to sit around with us for overtime? We might do an overtime tonight.
Yes.
I just might.
Overtime's where we get nasty and we cuss and we say bad things.
Can we do that?
Oh, we can do it. I'll explain it to you off the air. I'll explain it to you.
Because we don't want them to know.
Yeah, it's they're going to know.
We're like NASA.
They're going to know now.
You don't get to know.
We're like Lee Harvey Oswald.
They're going to know now. Team.
We're soft lovers.
No, we're going to come back. We're going to do about 15 to 20 minutes of overtime where we're going to get nasty. We're going to cuss. We're going to say bad things.
Yes.
We're going to do what we like to do. Plus, I got a letter here for Dr. Dan over there.
So I can't wait. It's been so long since I've gotten to practice.
The Social Ideal on Twitter, that is the name that you go by. What about your company? Is it a private consulting company that you own?
Yes, I do private consulting, tutoring, community management, all sorts of things related to digital online marketing.
Now, where'd you go to college?
Southern Illinois University in
Carbondale. And what did you study?
I studied English.
You studied English? You were going to be a teacher?
I was going to be a writer.
You were going to be a writer?
Yeah.
What kind of writing
like
were you
Sylvia
gonna
Brown.
One of our good friends on the show, DJ Gellner, he is an author. And he's been very successful at it.
Very
but
good.
My question is what were you going to, what kind of stuff were you going
to
write?
Well, I was trained in professional writing, some more technical writing, very analytical, but I had a minor in museum studies, so.
So you're going to write Night at the Museum 3?
So you were going to do like erotic novels.
Starring my parents?
Yeah. Yes.
That's weird.
You want to make money.
Whoa. My goodness, what was that, dude?
I don't know.
Why did that start out of nowhere? It's just really loud and just started playing, man.
Sometimes you don't get to
sometimes
choose.
I wish the producer was better at producing, is
sometimes
all I'm saying.
The producer's... Never mind.
Hey,
never
listen, mind. Sometimes the beat just finds you, okay?
Sometimes the beat does just,
it just
finds
you. You don't have a choice.
That's a good point. All right, well, so you're going to be a writer, and so now you have your company. How do they get a hold of you if they want to engage your... abilities.
Oh, you can reach me on just about any social network, Facebook, mm-hmm. Twitter, Instagram,
do you
Pinterest,
got the LinkedIn?
Tumblr.
Friendster?
No.
MySpace? Do you Tinder? Go to MySpace?
Are you on Tinder?
Tinder?
I am not.
Do you need to be
Although
on Tinder?
Although I thought about downloading it just to see what
you
the whole fuss
are
is
you
about.
You should be on the
a
greatest.
Great time.
Wait. Before we go any further, in overtime, I've got an app. It's called Figure One. That's all I'll leave you with before the show gets out of here. But talk about it in overtime, okay? Talk about it in overtime. Ladies and gentlemen.
There's that strange beat again.
It's time for us to get out of here on the show.
I want to first off, I want to say thank you to Judith Baker for being on the show. You can search her up at Amazon and pick up her books, Me and Lee, as well as anything that young lady has written. Thanks to Marissa Lather for joining us and talking some social media and life. You can follow her on Twitter at The Social Ideal. Also, thanks to 1380KXFN and 1380TheX.com, as well as 1420WINI for broadcasting us every single week. And if you want some tickets to see UFC 181 on December 6th in STL at the Regal Cinemas on IMAX, go to the contest section of thecunow.com and sign up. We are going to do ourselves a little overtime. As I said, I will talk about that app. Bobby will tell us a little bit more about what he was just getting ready to say with the apps in regards to that stuff in Tinder.
Awesome social websites.
Awesome social websites. So anything you want to say before we get out of here, Bobby?
Be intelligent. Hate Facebook.
Dan?
I'm not very intelligent, so I love Facebook.
Marissa Lather.
Emoji blowy kissy.
All right, there it is, Lisa. That's going to do it for us here on The Q. My name is Mark Bland. Follow us at thecunow.com. We will see you next time on the show. Don't forget, Overtime now only available on the download.
Having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rat patrol on the cat patrol. Foes that want to make sure my cask is closed. Rap critics to save money, cash holes. I'm from the hood, stupid. What type of facts are those? If you grew up with holes in your zap the toes, you celebrate the minute you was having dough. I'm like, fuck critics, you can kiss my whole asshole. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. Got beef with radio, but I don't play.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime. Something we don't do too often because we want it to be special for all of you out there. My name is Mark Bland, as well as from the show, Marissa Lather is here.
Hello.
As well as the Polar Voodoo.
I just want to say
the
one
polar
word.
Voodoo Daniel W.
I just want to say one phrase because I haven't been able to say it in a long time. Purple Elastic Thunderfuck.
Yes, there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, there's
that's a lot of words, but we've not been able to do an overtime in so long. So
that's true. We haven't been able to do one in quite a while, but you know, it's okay. Every once in a while, we'd like to flare it out. Producer Bobby's here also.
Yeah.
Yeah. You okay?
And he's super stoked
about
it. No,
I'm pissed at you.
Why are you pissed at me? Go ahead. Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, also joining us on the microphone, just as a special added attraction, Mike Craze. What's going on, Mike?
Not much, man.
How are you doing, bud?
I'm good. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Because I'm such a special guest that I don't get headphones.
Yes.
And don't worry about it. Sometimes we don't get headphones.
I'm a regular listener, so I'm
aware. Do you want to? Yes, that's true. That's a good point.
I know everything you guys
do. All right, fair enough. So why are you pissed at me, Bobby? Come on.
Because you're
bring
always,
it out on the show, dude.
You're always razzing me.
Razzing you about what?
About not
producing. About not doing your job properly sometimes? Sometimes. I didn't say all the time. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Name an instance. Because everything you've ever asked me to do gets done. You asked me to get tickets to WWE. Got the tickets to WWE. You asked me to get a fucking tarot card reader on the show. I did that. You asked me to fucking get people that are entertaining. I got a fucking crazy bitch that's entertaining.
That's a lot of headphones.
Yeah.
Bobby, you know I love you. Come on now.
Bobby, I love you too.
You obviously I do respect and love you, and you wouldn't have been on the show as long as you have been, and you wouldn't be my cohort.
I love you and your fat opinions.
And your Carhartt. You wouldn't be a Carhartt and a Pitfire if I didn't love you.
Yes. No, I do. Sometimes I do get a little frustrated because you do think that I don't, that I try to ignore you, but I don't.
Bobby, what relationship doesn't have that frustration?
Yeah, what
sometimes
part of it
we
does?
Have to bridge thanks, that Dr. gap
Dan.
Of communication.
Trust me, I get it enough from my wife, and I...
And I'm just helping you here, dude. You're getting it enough from your wife, but you're not getting that special something from Mark.
Yeah,
that's right.
Not. There's not
that's
a
right,
of,
Dr. Dan.
There's not some insertion going on.
Dr. Craze, what do you think about this? Go ahead, chime in, Dr. Craze.
I'm staying out of this one.
All right, fair
I'm
enough, Dr. Craze. All right.
I had a really good story, too.
Yeah. I want to talk about, we were talking about apps before we got off the air. What's your favorite app, Marissa?
Let's see. I use several different apps on a regular basis.
Give us something unique that most people don't know about that would probably be something like they would want a game on.
Well, I don't do social gaming.
No. Game On is our thing where we hit people to cool things.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Like Game On, FarmersOnly.com.
No, oh my goodness. That is horrible.
Meatspin.com.
Here.
Isn't Farmers Only your new sponsor?
I think Farmers Only is a new sponsor, which, by the way, don't forget that even Overtime, as controversial and cussy as we get, is sponsored by Photo.com. That's FOTO.com. Photo with an F. Make sure you get over there. 75 free 4x6 prints just for signing up. All of your pictures at half or less the cost. So there you go. Anyway, what were you saying?
Can you
turn me up for 1 second?
Yeah, you're up, dude. Oh, I see. What do you got for me? Oh, is are you gonna do something? Or?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Oh my fucking God, are you kidding me?
All right. Anyway, go ahead, Marissa. When that you're ready, you let us know.
Well, I think I have some nice apps right here for Bobby, yeah. Actually.
Sure, go ahead.
So let's see. We've got Headspace.
Oh, what's Headspace? Now, what is a Headspace? What's it do?
Well, Headspace is a positive thinking type of app.
Yeah. All right.
Positive thinking.
And then I also really like Buddhify.
Buddhify?
Buddhify is good. And Breathe.
Does Buddhify take my image and place it
now,
on a Buddha
we
body?
Do have we do have a special guest who's also joining us right now. He is our friend from Bulgaria. He is, I mean, he's Bosnian, maybe. I'm not sure exactly.
What are you talking about?
We don't even know where the fuck this is from.
He's got a very unique cadence to how he talks.
I think he's from Slovakia.
He could be.
He's probably from Serbia.
He might be from Serbia. Where are these countries out of there? I'm not really sure. What was his name, Bobby? It was Milo, something like that.
I think I get what you're saying now.
Yeah. Do you get what I said?
How are you fucking cunts doing today?
Oh, Milo, what's going on, man? Welcome to the queue.
Very good to be here.
Oh, thank you.
How are you cunts?
Oh, what? Cunts. Well, we're not
super
really...
sexy cunts.
Oh, why are we cunts? I don't
why are you not fucking cunts? Okay,
we're not.
Just take the compliment.
But we're not vaginas. Like we don't look like.
It doesn't mean that it's just cunts can be anything. Like you know, I give her my phone number. She don't call me. She can't. Okay, or I go to the grocery store to get.
She can't.
She
can't.
You can get four of them cunts.
You
for
give her.
$5.
You give her your phone number, but she can't.
She can't. She can't. She's a cunt.
She can't what? What can't she do?
Fucking call my dick on her phone.
Why would she call your dick?
Fucking cunts like the dick on the phone.
Why would fucking can't do things that, why can't they do
things? Why you ask so many fucking questions?
I don't know why.
Sometimes I like to fart in a box.
Why?
Because I like to put it up under the nose of different cunts. And then when they smell it...
Chris, do you keep hearing him say the word can't? He's saying can't. He's like the people that are cunt.
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here.
It's weird.
It's amazing.
You fart in boxes and you put them in people's faces?
It's like my way of saying hello today. How are you now? You smell the inside of my asshole, you fucking cunt.
What? Do you hit on women with the smell?
Fucking, I tell them, I give them my phone. I say, okay, you put your fucking cunt number in there.
The cunt number or can't number? It's can't, right? The can't number?
I don't understand why you can't understand what I'm saying. You can't hear you fucking cunt? What's wrong with you?
I'm not a... Why would I be a can't cunt? Can't. What are you... I don't under... Why? Why do you call me things like this?
Because I fucking feel like it. This America, free country, right?
Yeah, it's a very free country. You're more than welcome to say whatever you like.
Practice your own fucking rules, you fucking... Cunt.
I don't appreciate you calling me a cunt. And with Marissa sitting right here, you're being very rude. You're being very rude.
In Serbia, we say cunt all the time. We're like,
if you were to hit on Marissa,
come on,
Marissa, I want you to play along for a minute here because hi Milo. Hey, go ahead.
How are you fucking doing over there?
Oh, I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Sitting over here on my cunt.
Well, I thought you were sitting on a box. I wondered what you were doing.
I'm getting ready to fart into it and show you my fragrance.
Oh, okay.
That's like a way in Serbia where like, hey, how you doing, cunt? You want to smell me?
The hell? Milo, she's not going to go on a date with you if you say those kinds of things to her.
You know what? That's her fucking loss, you know?
That's your fucking loss. Did you hear that?
You know,
how bad do you
I
want
dated
Milo?
Milo and all I got was this lousy cardboard box.
That's the t-shirt. That's
the t-shirt.
That's it.
It's full of delicious fucking Milo insides. In a box.
Meat love insides? And you got meat love?
I thought he said meat loaf.
That shirt will be for sale on theqshop.com.
You cunts wanted to talk to me, okay?
Oh.
Good call, Milo.
Well, all right, Milo. I think we're done with you now. Thank you so much for bringing your beautiful language to our world. Thank you.
No problem. See you later, cunts.
See you, Milo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Milo.
Milo.
He joined us for a few minutes there. That was really special of him.
The premise behind that is that people from...
He says cunts a lot. I don't understand.
Say the word cunt way too much. And like if we say it in America, like it's so appalling. And there's, you're like, if I said cunt, you'd slap me. But like if people from Europe say it, girls are like, oh my God, it's so funny. Because your accent, you're so distinguished. Even though you fart in boxes horrible. And you fucking call me a cunt all the time, every other word.
You just put it in me. Just call me a cunt. I just like it when you touch my cunt. Don't say that again, Milo. I like it.
Say it. Don't say it.
It's so awkward when Mark gets so into good. The girl voice.
I hate when he like actually my favorite. It out of nowhere.
I'm not gonna lie to you. My favorite thing that we've ever done skit wise on the show is literally when we had the sex therapist here and we decided to do the racists, the two KKK members, which I thought,
and we went on way too long about,
which
it.
Was absolutely amazing. That's all I'm saying.
All we kept thinking was someone's listening to this and they're like they're dialing back and forth and they just hear us going on this horribly racist dialogue. Not probably knowing that this is all part of a skit.
Right.
And they're just like, what the hell am I listening to? Oh, I can't remember half the shit we were saying. Something about farm animals.
And how we liked them. Well,
and how we like, I think one of the lines were like, we would like black people more if they were white. I think we went like that far with it.
I don't know, man. We just getting into some crazy spots.
But okay, for anyone listening, we don't really, it was a fucking skit. Okay. Like we didn't really mean that. Just like Mark decided to bring on the Serbian guy.
Yeah.
Milo.
He's a nice guy. As long as he's talking about cunts.
All the time.
Evidently.
Yeah, right. Or soccer and matches where they hit each other with hatchets.
Anyway, go ahead. You were talking about Headspace and what was the other one?
Bootify. I have absolutely no idea.
Bootify. What's Bootify?
These are
cell phone apps.
These are cell phone apps that you can listen to and you need to meditate and get away from people like Milo.
What does Bootify do?
We could do one real quick.
Let's do one live on the air here on the overtime for the Q.
All right. Let's see what we got here. So
we're about
what you
to
do,
get bootified.
What do you do? Yeah.
You go in there and you decide, okay, am I going to sleep? Am I taking a walk? Am I feeling stressed? Am I exercising? Walking in nature?
I like how right when you said exercise, he starts coughing. As like a conditioned response.
Choke me up. Like, choke me up. When I heard the word exercise, I started thinking about Dragon Alley and Trayvon Austin Martins and
moving consistently really for 45 awesome. Minutes.
Why the fuck
running into people, running into people in the Central West End and pulling guns on them, things like that. Just crazy,
dude,
stupid things.
So
it's just out of land.
Well, maybe they
Harry
really
Potter.
Need to take part in some of these apps.
Yes, yeah, they should. Good call, Marissa. Marissa's like the centrist for us. She like bootifies us. Go
exactly.
Ahead. Anyway, so anyway,
brings us back to
so we were. So what are our options again?
Let's
so
do sleep.
You get to choose what you're doing.
Okay.
If you're out walking or if you're going to sleep, and then you get to choose your time. So if you want to use the 5 minute version or the 15 minute version, and then it walks you through some very meditative practices.
So like what, like things like breathing exercises,
breathing, mental visualization,
breathing like this.
Bobby in does
through
those
your
exercises.
Nose.
I wonder if Milo, he'd be like,
Milo has a speech impediment. All right, back off.
Yeah, I mean it was kind of obvious.
You fucking cunt.
Yeah, the cunts.
Don't make
we
me do that unrehearsed.
We should have Milo
do. That just sounded like one dude who said the word cunt too much.
Milo could do a session, I think, of Bootify.
I wonder if Vladimir Putin has ever done one.
Yeah, Vladimir Putin, well, we have to get him on the
Vladimir
line.
Vladimir Putin calls, okay?
Yeah, we got to get
him. From Russia.
Yeah, Vladimir Putin does call from Russia. Actually, Bobby, why don't you hit him with a text message real quick and see if, you know... If we can, well, anyway, what was the other one? Headspace? We'll see if we can get Vlad on the phone here in a minute.
Okay. We could also recommend Breathe.
Breathe. There's a lot of, it sounds like you and the Lowry do these things before sexy time. Like, it's like, hey, you know, we're going to get the Bootify rocking and rolling, and then we're going to do
this.
You got to
get in the right headspace.
We're going to get
the
headspace. We're going to breathe
a
lot. You know, we're going to do some breathing, okay?
It's all in the mind.
So.
Are you calling me?
No, what are you doing over there? Jesus, man.
I'm trying to call Putin.
I don't even know why. Jesus, the fourth wall just has no... There's no frame to the fourth wall of the queue, evidently. There's just zero.
I don't know what you're talking about, but hold on, hold on.
Oh.
I have Vladimir on the line.
You have Vlad on the line? Vlad?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, Vlad. How are you?
I'm watching Step It Up 2, Step Back to the Street, Favorite Movie, Channing Tatum. Sexy
Mac asshole. Oh, wow. That's cool. We had a friend of ours named Milo that just came on. He's from Serbia. There you have close relations with the Russians.
Serbian people are all crazy. They say the word cunt too many times and they fart in boxes.
That's a really good point. Well, hey, listen, we have our friend here, Marissa, from the United States. She's the social ideal on Twitter, and she's got this this app that we thought you should try. It's called, which one is it that you have over there?
We'll use Bootify.
We got Bootify here. Yeah. You want to try to do some Bootify for us?
Mark Blunt, would you say that she has a very nice ass?
I would say that she is a very nice looking lady. Yeah, she's a good looking lady.
Is she like a typical American woman with low self-esteem and high sex drive?
I don't know if her sex life has low self-esteem.
I don't know about low self-esteem.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, you are the Russian god Vlad.
Greatest leader in all of the world with six-pack chiseled abs from Russian god.
Yes, you do have Russian abs that are godly. Do you want to try this Bootify?
Like mythological creatures and women.
That's true. You mythological creatures. Okay, do you want to be a Bootified up? Let's get Bootified.
Bootify me up.
All right, go ahead, Marissa. What do you got?
Okay. All right, Vladimir, I need you to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. And in through your nose and out through your mouth. Now imagine you're petting your big white horse.
Every day. This is not a big thing for me.
Go ahead. She was saying something to you, Vlad. Hold on.
Well, you've got to imagine that you're walking on the beach on your big white horse.
Maybe you don't know anything about Russia. Not many beaches here. We have a lot of the ISIS.
Oh, yeah, there's lots of ISIS over there.
Well, you have
to... All the water is frozen. Kind of depressing. It's nighttime here. 30 days.
Well, you need to try and picture not being where you are. Imagine you're on a beach. And you've got your six-pack, and you're doing sit-ups.
I'm doing six-pack sit-ups on the beach. Okay, I've got it.
Okay, all right.
You're feeling better already, aren't you?
Vladimir likes this exercise. It makes him very happy below waist.
It's a good point, Vlad.
All right, well,
he
stop
is a Russian god. He is a Russian god, let's be honest.
I have a Bootify in my pants.
He's got the Bootify.
He's very Russian and very powerful, just like Vladimir.
Okay, fair enough. What else do you got going on there, Marissa?
Well, we'd probably have to switch to another app. I think this one has worked for you.
We might have to switch to Tinder. Do you like Tinder?
I think we should go to a different app where Vladimir makes sex with a hot American woman with high self-esteem.
He's going to make a sexy time with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is he saying I have high self-esteem?
Once you are with Vlad, of course. He thinks that you right now, as the Lowry, you are low self-esteem.
Okay, I see.
Sometimes Vladimir likes to get baby oil and rub it all over his body and all over other people's body and slide back and forth.
Vladimir, I just was curious, what do you think of Chelsea Handler posting naked pictures of herself in reference to you posting yourself topless?
Jesse Hamler makes me throw up in my mouth and not happy in my penis.
Okay. Your mouth and not happy in your penis. I get it. It's weird, Vlad. Vlad, you've
Jesse
kind of...
Hamler, he's a pretty smart-ass guy, if you ask me.
I think we're going to have to cut this call short, Vlad. You're being a little rude now. I think you're being a little rude. You're talking about your penis.
I'm very sorry. How can I get this back on track?
Very simply, we just need you to breathe in.
Okay.
Breathe in. Now breathe out.
I'm breathing.
Breathe out.
How can I fucking talk and breathe at the same
time? That's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. Vlad Breer, we got to go. We're sorry, buddy. We got to go. Oh, this is just going off the rails. Vlad is he's just having a rough day over there. You know, lots of things going on. Maybe he heard about the Eric Garner situation. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's weird. Anyway,
trying to figure out how to invade Ukraine.
Okay. So anyway, Headspace, Bootify, those are really cool. I've got an app I want everybody to know about. It's called Figure One. This is Instagram for doctors. And when I say it's Instagram for doctors, I mean not in the good way. They take actual hardcore gory images of things they're dealing with. They post them up. It's their version of Instagram. They actually have to get the consent from the different patients to take a picture, and they actually have to sign their name on the app that allows them to do this, or else they can't post a picture. And I mean, it's like, here is stage 4 lung cancer, you know, skin cancer picture. What do you guys think about it? And then they rip on it. I mean, these doctors, they go to town. Like, it's like frat guys and frat girls. Like, it's crazy. You know, sorority girls. Like, they just rip on it. And they make fun of things. That, like, it's so weird. And it's just really, really gruesome. When I found out about it, I was like, wow, that is so out there. But it's very popular, extremely popular.
Before we get to potential letters for the listeners, yes. I had an app called Trivia Crack that it was really cool.
Yeah, you were telling me about
it. But you have to have fucking Facebook to be able to play it, so.
Fair enough.
Not playing that shit anymore.
Yeah, you got to have that.
Stupid app.
Yeah, stupid app that doesn't work on
stupid app
Facebook anymore. You could probably sign in with your Twitter.
No.
Oh, okay.
It asks for a Facebook login.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, since we're going long on overtime, it's time for us to do letters from the listeners. Dr. Dan, are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
Dr. Crace, are you ready, sir?
Sure.
All right. Marissa, are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Ladies and gentlemen, a few years ago, I started taking stuff from Dan Savage, Savage Love. I would read it live on the air, and then I would turn around and give my own spin on it. Eventually, people listening to the show started liking it so much, they would send in their actual own personal sex stories, relationship advice stories, whatever they wanted.
Carpeting stories.
And eventually, it got to the point where I was getting 40, 50, 60 a week. And so I would pick a couple out and then I would read them on the show and we would like break them down. And that's where we're at. You can always go to theqnow.com, go to the contact us section. You can email us any questions. And these are the letters that I receive. Here we go. Hey guys, haven't heard overtime in a bit. So I figured I would throw you something that I'm dealing with and make it happen. So this is kind of the reason why I'm doing overtime tonight. I caught my husband of 3 years cheating on me. He claimed it was nothing and I was being a bigger person and decided to forgive him. Within minutes after this, we were having sex after the apology and the acceptance. Halfway through sex, there was a lot of moaning and decent work being put in when out of nowhere, he called me by the other woman's name. Oh. Of course, I was distraught and started to cry. He claimed it was a mistake and it will never happen again. I haven't talked to him in a couple of days and want to hear your opinion of what you think I should do. So there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Caught her husband of 3 years cheating, mid-sex, right after the apology and the makeup, decides to call his wife by the other woman's name, destroying her. Marissa, let's start with you. You're a woman. What do you think about this situation? Do we side with the woman? How should she handle this? Your opinion.
Well, he did say that it would never happen again, right?
After, yes. Probably, he probably said it would never happen again on the cheating thing, too, when he made the original apology, I would assume.
Well, he said that it would never happen again, and I would make sure to hold him to that promise because he wouldn't be saying anything to me ever again.
So you would leave him off of this situation?
Hell yeah.
All right, fair enough. You're not taking it. You're not dealing with that.
No way.
Lowry, you better watch yourself. Don't be cheating on her.
And, yeah, nothing to worry about.
Yeah, crazy, crazy. She's going to shut you down. What about you, Dr. Dan?
Do we really need to answer this?
No. Like, I mean, if you don't want to, you don't have to. Back
after just a few minutes? Like, that's it? That's all? It's like, yeah, I cheated on you. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I mean, cool. We don't know how deep the relationship was. They could have been in a relationship for 7 years before that and married for 3. So 10 years deep, you know.
All the more reason, man. All the more reason. Not minutes. Like, come on. Keep your legs closed for like a day or so. Make them like.
Women have that ability to torture us even when we don't do shit wrong. So, like, why wouldn't you use this against him when you do have something to use against him? I've been yelled at for shit that I didn't do and would never happen. If this dude cheated on her, she should have tortured his ass. And then and when he called her name, man, I'm sorry, man, you shot yourself in the foot on that one.
That's how you know it wasn't just a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough. What about you, Dr. Crace?
I'm deferring back to Dr. Walsh.
Dr. Crace just doesn't want to talk at all. He doesn't even want to.
Dr. Walsh is spot on.
I was spot on.
All right, fair enough.
I'm pretty smart, dude.
Bobby, anything you want to say on this?
Well, first off, it could have been a Freudian slip. Their names could have been close to each other.
He was mid-coitus.
Yeah, I mean, things get passionate. You never know what's going to come out of your mouth. You could just start yelling.
How
like,
about your wife's name?
Maybe they have the,
you, like, been
what
with
what
one.
They maybe have the same
they
name.
Both start with like M, and he's like, oh, Michelle, and it should have been like Maria or something.
I would, if I was married, I would yell my wife's name during masturbation just so it's muscle memory.
But they say,
even if I wasn't even thinking about her, I'd be like, oh, Chinese you.
Oh, geez. Wow.
Chinese Stephanie.
Oh, Chinese Stephanie.
We're going to pretend like she's Stephanie. I don't know. That's what I would do. I would call people on the screen if I was watching a porn by my wife's name.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. You have a wife?
No.
All right.
That's the only damper in my plan.
Last question. Mark, I am curious. What was your highlight of 2014? What is the one thing you will stamp 2014 with and never forget because of that? What about the other guys on the show? 2014 will, like, I guess all of us, you know, as human beings, we go through the entire year, and there's usually one or two things that stand out heavily to us within our personal lives.
Right.
And that's kind of like what happened that year. Like, 2004 was the year I got married. So, like, that's the big thing of that year. And then, you know, 2009 was the year my daughter was born. So that was the big thing of that year. And 2012 was my son being born. This year, although... I'm going to say this because we're getting near the end of the year. This was not a good year in general across the board for many people. Now, I don't think it was a rough year as far as like, it wasn't a stressing year. Like it was just a lot of obstacles and like things that you didn't expect popping off that just weren't, they kind of left you with a sour taste in your mouth in general.
Right.
They weren't just like. Like, financially, it wasn't horrible year, you know. It wasn't like I got treated horribly a lot this year or anything like that. But this year will be marked with the death of my Uncle Jerry, God rest his soul. So that's going to be the thing that is, in my mind, the stamp on 2014. When I look back down the road, I will remember, oh, 2014, that was the year my Uncle Jerry passed away. What about you, Bobby?
I think ultimately, well, first off, the birth of my son, because having two girls... the only thing a guy ever wants is to have a son, and to finally have that is really cool.
But not to have a dad who's a Packers fan. Like, that's kind of tough, you know?
Yeah, well, I teach my kids to be fucking smart.
We don't root
for the fucking Bears.
You know,
And then also getting to experience a really cool moment and getting to see Sting.
So that's what's going to be your memory this year. Yeah, I didn't get to do that. I didn't get to see
experiencing Survivor Series with Dan Walsh.
Yeah, I didn't get to. I didn't get to. I didn't get to experience it. Here, let me tell you what my Survivor Series experience was this year.
Don't give me shit because you could have went.
First things first. I didn't get to go, even though I had tickets in my hand multiple times. Mm-hmm. I was a very kind individual and gave those tickets away. Then I was denied access to the WWE Network by people. And then after that, other people who I was supposed to hook up with, they canceled their parties out of the complete blue. Then I went over and I watched the last 30 minutes of the entire show because I finally found someone who did want to steal it and watch it via internet access.
Steal it.
How do you steal it?
Why
free?
Would you fucking steal it? It's only $10.
It was free in November. It was free. You stole free shit.
And it ended on
you stole samples. You're that guy.
I didn't do shit. Like that
guy
was somebody
stole samples. He's that guy.
And then I literally turned around after that was done and got to go to another friend's house and got to watch the entire show with him, which was good. That was a good ending. That was my Survivor Series experience. But good job. I appreciate that one. That was a really good one.
That was me.
What about you?
You can't just call me out by name. I'm sitting right here.
I was trying to protect you a little bit.
He like didn't he like just give you shit and No.
Stop. Your cancel was legit. The other individual who canceled, not legit.
Thank you.
Bullcrap. Total bullcrap. And that's the person I'm talking about. We don't have to go into details. Dan Walsh, 2014. How are you going to stamp it? How are you gonna time hop this?
Me as well. It was not a great year. I lost my uncle, my little cousin. But I like to remember positive things.
Sure.
So in those states, I always remember like the positive things that those two individuals gave me. But one very special day at Six Flags with my buddy Mark Bland.
Yes.
When we got trapped on the Rush Street Flyer.
Yes.
And we yelled like lunatics, and there was some poor French girl that was just visiting the United States, and that was her first impression.
And what was I screaming from the Rush Street Flyer?
You yelling at the hard Bulgarian friend, Ivan! Because he was holding all our stuff like he was our mom.
He was holding our stuff like
he never wanted to go on the rides, dude.
He refused to go on all rides. And poor Ivan, nothing against Ivan, but poor Ivan just sitting there. We see his shoes move. I'm like, Ivan!
Just hey, screaming
Ivan!
That or things coming out of my pocket on the bus and Mark screaming power bottom to me as I try to push him against the seat and not lose them.
What about you, Marissa? What was your thing?
Well, sorry that you guys have had a rough year, but mine was really good.
Good. No, that's good. That's fine. Everybody stamps it differently.
It was the year that my business kicked off and is doing very well. Good. And I feel very good about that. And I also... This might mean a little more to me than to you, but I got seated front row at a show in Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week in New York, and so that was very exciting.
Wow, that's fucking cool.
Very cool.
Who was there? Yeah. Who was there? Dish it. Was there like some? Did you sit next to like Hayden Panettiere or
Kim Kardashian?
Yeah,
Jensen Ackles.
No, I think maybe like a reality star or something.
Those guys are pieces of shit.
Maybe a reality star.
I'm so sorry you had to sit next to one.
Oh my God, it's happening again.
This is deja fucking vu right here, you cunt. There it is. There it is.
See, it's going to catch on now.
Yeah, what about you, Grace? What was your stamp on 2014?
Oh, mine was mixed. High, low. I had my grandfather passed away this year, so I had the same as everybody else.
Right, fair enough.
But I also married the love of my life this year.
There you go. Congratulations on that.
There you go.
Fantastic. Right.
So good year.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on The Cue. Over time, I want to say thank you to Dan Walsh, producer Bobby, Mike Crace, as well as The Social Ideal on Twitter. Thank you very much, Marissa Lather, for joining us on the show today. Hope
thanks
you had
for
fun.
Lathering up and coming out.
Did you lather up? Lather up? Lather up and come out?
Oh, I got all right.
I'm sorry that these two are fucking idiots and trying to use your name like that.
If you get a chance,
Mark started it.
If you get a chance, check us out. We are sponsored by photo.com. That's FOTO.com, photo with an F. As well as don't forget to check out theqnow.com and follow us on Twitter at Mark Bland. For me,
CC Papa.
SISIPOPBA. Dan Walsh 83, as well as Crace.
At Ref Mike Crace.
At Ref Mike Crace and The Social Ideal on Twitter.
That's me.
That's you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on Overtime. We will see you next time on The Cue. And I'll be up in the booth drunk acting the fool Friday night. At Kaya, they still got love. And the shark bar be popping like it's a nightclub.